come out.
Somebody's.
Yeah, I've got two entries here. I'm trying to get rid of one of them.
Dealer's choice, man. You go whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I don't know how to get rid of this.
We'll just keep one on mute for sure. I don't know.
Yeah, it is on mute. It doesn't seem to make a difference.
No, having two.
Sounds like he's playing Riders on the Storm almost, right? That almost sounds like Riders on the Storm when he talks.
Or Pink Floyd or something. But you having two presences like that will cause that echoing, even if one or both of them are on mute. I don't know why it does that. But, David, you got to get rid of one of them somehow.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out.
How about
I'm going to put you in the waiting room. Let's see if that works. How about that? Go ahead and speak, David.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
You're good.
All right. Great. Thanks.
All right. We're recording. We're started. So let me go give the opening salvo here. Good evening, everyone. This is the May 20th, 2026 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. I'm Kamau Harris, Chair of the Board. The magnificent Ellen Carter, our secretary extraordinaire, will now call the roll. Ellen, please go ahead.
Irene did send an email that she would not be able to attend. Verna?
Present.
Thank you. Michael Byfield?
Present.
Michael Byfield?
Present.
Michelle?
Present.
Thank you. Bill Curtis? Bill Curtis?
I think I just let him in. Bill Curtis might have just popped in.
Okay. Violetta?
I'm here.
Wanda?
Here.
Sue? Did you see Sue?
Not yet.
Robert?
Here.
I saw him. Robert?
Here, I said.
Kamau?
I'm here.
Michael Hirsch?
I'm here.
Julie?
Here. Here.
Okay. Jawara?
Here.
Arthur Highland? Arthur Highland?
He might be traveling. I'll double check my emails.
Okay. David Chiasi?
Here.
Ambrose? Okay. Mariah?
Here.
Mariah? Okay. She's here.
She's here. Yep.
Ron Pinchback? Let's see. Ron? Junette did send an email saying that she was traveling also.
Yep.
Okay. Minerva? Minerva. And Latrice.
Here.
Okay. I'll go back to Sue Goodwin. Has she come in?
Not yet.
Arthur Highland? No?
No.
Ambrose? Ron, Minerva, okay, Thomas,
here.
I'm certain, Thomas Chase,
here.
And I am here, okay, please let me know.
Our general manager as well, you want to roll call her, she's actually a member as well.
Okay. And let's see if she's here. Shayna?
Here.
She's here. I see her on there.
All right. All right, folks. Thank you, Ellen, for that. Really appreciate it. Let's just make sure for those who are might have heard from Sue or Ron, give them a buzz maybe and let them know we're meeting. Minerva as well. I didn't hear from them prior to the meeting, so hopefully they're okay. All right. You all received, and I apologize for the tardiness, but you received the meeting agenda. I hope you had a chance to review it. Are there any updates, modifications, adds, subtracts from the agenda as issued? All right, hearing none, our agenda is approved for this evening. The timekeeper, vice chair, would you be able to, Robert, handle the timekeeping for us? All right. Thank you, sir.
I was muted. I said sure.
Okay. All right. Great.
Mr. Chair.
Appreciate it. The minutes were issued by Secretary Carter. If you had a chance to review those, are there any changes or modifications to the minutes as distributed? Ellen, your hand is raised. You're recognized. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did make one change. I had in the list of LSB members, I had one person twice, and I checked it, made correction.
All right. Perfect. Thank you for that. Any other corrections to the minutes as issued? All right, hearing none, these minutes are approved. Secretary Carter, let it be known that Member Lane has checked in. He is here. Member Lane, could you just answer up, please, really quickly?
President.
Thank you, sir. All right, we have up first our magnificent program director, Katia Stitt. Is she here this evening?
You have a couple of hands raised, Mr. Chair.
Oh, I do. Oh, gosh, I'm looking down. Member Byfield, you are up, and then Member Tingling Clemens in that order. You have the floor, Member Byfield.
Yeah, I don't know if I am looking at the older agenda.
Yeah,
but I was I didn't see anything addressing the grievance process, and since the GM had was supposed to get back to us this meeting, and she sent us a message that she's not well, and she's not going to be in the meeting for more than an hour. I just wanted to see whether or not is that on the agenda. Because the agenda I'm looking at doesn't have it.
Yes, sir. Under unfinished business, item 3 is the grievance policy. I'll allow her to, if she wants, during her GM report to address that matter at that time, and then we can further discuss under unfinished business. All right?
Okay.
Thanks. Member Tingen Clemens, you're up. Michelle.
I couldn't quite get my hand up earlier when it came up, but I'm just confused. Why does the agenda say interim general manager report?
Yeah, I keep messing that up. Sorry about that. And my apologies, Shayna, as well. I don't know why I keep doing that. Just I'm wash, rinse, repeat on this. It's kind of a template for me. So I apologize. It should say general manager.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem.
All right. Do we have Katia? If not, Shayna, I'll defer to you how you want to handle your management reports.
Yeah, sorry. Katia is not not well today. Hello everyone, it's Shayna. I will just give some brief highlights from her report. Also, just wanted to just apologize for the lateness of our report, just from being in pledge drive, and now a number of us are sick. So really all that we have to report on Katia's side is some special programming that's coming up. One is the All Blues, a Miles Davis Centennial Celebration, which will be on May 26th from 5 a.m. to midnight. We'll also, this past Friday, we commemorated the 78th anniversary of the ongoing Palestinian Nakba, and that ran from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. We received a $10,000 challenge grant for this day, and we got very close, over 8,900 for the day. Programmers have been completing their self-evaluations and having one-on-ones with Katia. The one-on-ones were paused during the pledge drive and now are ongoing. The programmers had to fill out a very extensive self-eval, and then now they're going over it with Katia. We have an upcoming benefit concert, Thanks Craig, happening on Sunday, June 14th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Palisades Hub. I don't have the link in the report, but I'll drop it. If you go onto Eventbrite, and then it'll should be up by tomorrow on the website. And I think that's it on programming.
All right. I do appreciate that. And I can hear your voice, so I do appreciate you taking the time to be here this evening. Any questions regarding the program director's report? Can't talk today. All right. Hearing none. Anything else you'd like to add? Shayna, I won't stress you out. But there was a question from a member regarding the grievance. Did you have something you wanted to share there, or did you want us to just kind of use your email response as a way to kind of further discuss the matter during our unfinished business? I'll give you the floor now if you'd like to highlight some things and how you came to your conclusions.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I should have included it as well in the general manager's report. But the email's pretty comprehensive. I really just want to say how much I appreciate folks sharing and putting a lot of care. It's very evident how much folks care about the volunteers' experience with the station and how we work together. And nurturing like a relationship that like respects everyone's dignity. I did have some concerns just in the way that the grievance process, the actual process of it, wasn't really in compliance with some like just basic workplace harassment and discrimination, things that we know to be true. That staff should have the power to decide, especially and evaluate instances of harm, conflict, or discrimination, and intervene in that way. Basically, what I outlined tries to put a bit more formalized, like what happens when, you know, conflict, harm happens, and understanding that it would be held confidentially by me and escalated to the executive director in cases where it's especially maybe unsafe or dangerous. And that understanding more clearly what the shared understanding of like what are volunteers, who are what are their duties and responsibilities, and also like what are our values as a station. And I want to implement something called community agreements. It's a practice that I've done in many community spaces, especially grassroots spaces, where we just have a shared understanding and consensus on how we treat one another in the work that we do together. I think it comes from more of a space of like in the spirit of transformative justice, that no one is disposable, that everyone has a role, that we understand the work that we're trying to do together. And this would be also, you know, I really love that folks are like, this is something, you know, in terms of like having some sort of Bill of Rights or grievance process that folks are onboarded to when they become a volunteer. So, you know, in the volunteer coordinator report, in Vinny's report, you know, he started to do monthly volunteer orientations. And this is where volunteers are new volunteers and definitely encourage current volunteers to attend the volunteer orientations to understand more of the history, values, community agreements, and ways to get involved with the radio station. Yeah, that's basically all that I have on that. Welcome to discussion or feedback on ways to like better improve the like a complaints process or community agreements, and even the volunteer orientation I think would be really helpful, because it just to help set the groundwork for folks who want to get involved with the station. Yeah, thank you. I know I'm not the most eloquent today. I'm not really feeling well.
No, we do appreciate it. What I'd like to do here, I see your hand, Member Byfield. We have what appears to be a little bit of space here with regards to management reports. So I'll take questions here. The larger discussion on this, we can have under new business. Unfinished business. I know we won't have our general manager, but if you have a specific question, with regards to the policy and, the summary given by our general manager, feel free to join the stack. Member Byfield, you have the floor.
How much time?
Two minutes, sir. 2 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Michael. You're muted, sir.
I appreciate you coming to the meeting in your condition. But the reason why I raised my hand is I wanted you to at least share my rebuttal or my comment, and so that you'd be present rather than not present. And what I want to say is, initially, I didn't think that was something that a new manager should handle, because this has been going on for almost a decade. People have worked on this. And the seriousness of it is that the reason why a person like myself is such a stickler at this is because it places WPFW and Pacifica in a very serious position of being sued. And every time we get sued, we settle. And a person like myself and other people see it as as negligence, and as the station and the network taking advantage of our membership dollars, because they continuously settle. They never fight anything. And we're being very, very careless in this. And I know why I am saying this. I think my time is up. Robert probably won't allow me to talk much longer. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
You got 40 seconds, Mike.
Thank you. There were people who, programmers, over the last 4 or 5 years that have been unjustly dismissed, and they never had an opportunity to exercise their, any level of justice, or that grievance process was never exercised. And when we crafted that, we retroactively wanted it to go back to those people if they chose to come to the table. So it's, you know, it's way beyond, you know, you being here, and the word salad sounds really nice. I'm an idealist in some regards myself, and I love your idealism about this issue, but the real world is trying to address a real issue that has happened in this radio station and other radio stations, and there's a process that another Pacifica station has and exercised it and has never gotten any kind of trouble for it. And we are asking to follow that process.
Mike, that's time. That is time. Sorry, but I'm just telling the chair. It's up to the chair.
All right.
And we're just trying to follow that while we're saying, who are we at WPFW? Why are we different? We're not, I hate to use the word slaves, but if another station in California has this process, we don't believe that we should put our hard membership dollars and go out and raise money for a station that doesn't recognize justice and call ourselves Jazz and Justice.
Got it.
Said my piece.
Got it. Thank you, sir. All right. I see member Hirsch, and then I'll give our general manager an opportunity to respond. Member Hirsch, you have the floor.
Yeah, I want to thank Member Byfield, or Mr. Chair, like you'd thank Member Byfield for keeping this issue alive. It's been very important. We've been working on it for a long time. I'd like to recognize his insistence on protecting Pacifica and WPFW, and recognize his passion for the station, for justice, and all that. And I'd also like to say I'm here to help implement this and work this through so we can get this taken care of as soon as possible. So thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. We'll take one more since that wasn't it was very, very important. Thank you, Michael. Member Hirsch, wasn't necessarily a question. So, Verna, Member Avery Brown, you have the floor, and then we'll hear back from our general manager.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I appreciate, Shana, I appreciate your kinder and gentler approach to this problem. I'm not sure, however, if it's going to be strong enough. And I'm wondering, this volunteer orientation, is that optional or mandatory? And are there any consequences if programmers fail to comply?
All right. So was that your question, Verna? Yeah. All right. So
that's the end of my questions. Yeah.
Okay. So a couple of things there, Shana. Michael's concern regarding committing finances, membership, and members committing finances to the organization without necessarily putting in place ways to mitigate settlements and payouts for folks who may feel like they've been aggrieved. Is that something you thought about? I'm sure you did during your decision making, and what's your response to that, his position there?
Yeah, thank you, everyone. You know, even no grievance process will prevent anyone from suing. I spent a number of years at the ACLU. You can bring up lawsuits for basically anything. And I've worked with hundreds of volunteers across different, you know, nonprofits and campaigns. Whether or not someone decides to draw up paperwork, that's not something I can control. I will say that, you know, I've been informed of the issues regarding previous programmers being dismissed. And I will say the only thing that I can say that it was a matter of safety, that these programmers will not be coming back. And I really appreciate everyone's care. And it's obvious that everyone has dedicated a lot of time and feels very deeply about those programmers. But in terms of what I can do and what I can do legally, right, because some of the issues in which the reasons for why they were dismissed are a personnel issue and also were handled in the courts. So I can't speak to them very like disclose very much details, but it's a matter of safety, and they will not be coming back, no matter what grievance process is in place. And I just want to name that because I just want to name that tension, because I feel like this is where a lot of the grievance process has situated. Now, in terms of moving forward, say if there is an issue between, you know, a programmer and their show time, that's a conversation. And also, one of the community agreements wanting to uphold is that we do what's best for the station and our community. Volunteers and staff were at will. That's the kind of, you know, power that is at play, working at Pacifica, working at a nonprofit. Sorry, I went into more of a tangent, but, in terms of like what that means to fight within the courts and settling, court cases take a lot of money. And I don't know the backroom or what dealings were made in terms of deciding whether or not to settle. I know that there are ways that we can conduct ourselves as a community, and how we handle conflict and harm that get us to a better place outside of working within the carceral system. For instance, I would like us to work with a mediation group, right? DC community mediators, which provide free confidential services to everyone in the DMV area, in the workplace, between friends, family, all of that. Thank you.
Thank you. And really quickly, member Avery Brown asked about the volunteer orientation. Would that be a mandatory orientation? And is that something that, if it's not completed, would be a penalty or some sort? What's that look like?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. Right now we're rolling it out with new volunteers, with folks who are interested in, you know, hopping on the phones during pledge drives. For folks who want to help out with tabling, folks who just want to come to the station and do whatever sort of tasks. Like, we're going to start calling donors and thanking them. We just want everyone to be on the same page of like, what is WPFW? What do we stand for? What are our values? Where have we been? And as for programmers, I think that's Katia and I have been brainstorming ways that we want to, formalize more of a curriculum to get all of the programmers on the same page of like, what does a good home studio look like? How do you ensure that you have strong Wi-Fi? So this is to say that this is all part of an ongoing conversation of ensuring that there's more equitable access to how we can better co-create better programming. That's a different question. I would love, you know, right now it's more of an opt-in. Like, if all of y'all want to come and hang out with me and Vinny during our monthly volunteer orientations, they're an hour long, maybe an hour and a half, because we also take time to really get to know each other during that call. But no, there's not going to be a penalty. But I think that moving forward, we do really need to think about how do people enter WPFW as a programmer, and what's their journey, and how, as staff, we can support that.
All righty, thank you for that. Looks like we have one more on the stack. Member Nyawi, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to thank the General Manager, Shayna, for showing up, even though she's ill. I know she's been working very hard on the pledge drive, during the pledge drive. And also, I just was very impressed with her reports that were sent in, the detail and just covering May and April. I think it's very helpful to get the details on what her thoughts are going forward. And I think that a lot of the challenges that have crept up in the past, it looks to me like she's going to be reframing, I guess, the organization and the volunteering in a way that it might eliminate a lot of those problems. So thank you very much, Shayna.
All right. Thank you for that. I see a square that says Ron. Is that member Pinchback by any chance?
That is me.
All right. Can we mark him as present, Secretary Carter?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
And can I make a comment for the general manager?
Yes.
Brief.
Member Byfield, this is his second bite, so I'll wait. Go ahead. What do you have, Ron?
I just wanted to, I'm not sure whether Shana was aware of this or not, but the executive director has made overtures to us at W about this whole issue, had committed, I say committed, but, you know, intimated that any new rules that come out would have to be across the board. That's the issue, that it can't apply to just one station. It has to apply to whatever rules are adopted, would have to be across the network, which is, I would imagine, reasonable. But we haven't seen any progress on that effort. So that's what Mr. Byfield is talking about, and what some of the other programmers are talking about, that, you know, we were back in the summer, we were told that this is something that upper management would be working on. But once again, we still have no final product. So if if you can push that along, you know, in your capacity as manager, it would be certainly helpful.
All right. Thank you, sir. Are those legacy hands? Byfield, you want another bite? We're going to...
I do. And
very quickly, 1 minute. Go ahead.
And my apology, because I would prefer to do this in new business, but since the GM is here, I just want to say, you know, an analogy is when Barack Obama took office and we were guilty of torturing people at Guantanamo. He said, I'd rather just look forward and not look back. That's exactly what this sounds like to me. Yeah, we tortured some people, and let's just put that behind us and start a new page. We've been around for 47 years. If we were torturing people for and I don't think we have been. But my point is, the exposure is still there, and putting some nice words on it does not change the exposure and the seriousness of this matter. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Shana, I'll leave it to you. We've got about 20 minutes before we hear from finance, actually about 30 minutes. Did you have anything else you'd like to highlight with regards to management and what's currently happening at the station? If not, then I'll ask our body to move us forward in the agenda.
Sure. I'll just, let's see, a few things. I hear you, Ron, on the volunteer or the personnel handbook that's supposed to be coming out. My understanding and is that we should expect it sometime in September after all of the negotiations with the unions are settled. I've asked repeatedly that if I could be on whatever committee with the attorneys who are reviewing the handbook to also be part of those conversations and that reworking. And also the community agreements and process that I've outlined, I've also ran them through with the ED just so that, you know, that to ensure that they're already in alignment with what, you know, just basic workplace practices already look like, is that if there's a grievance, you would come to me and then I would escalate it. Or if it's something where, you know, someone did like an oopsie and someone feels like, you know what, I want to invest in creating you know, a future in this relationship, and they go through an accountability process. I'm more than happy to help facilitate that and move that process along. And I will say that, I understand the concerns about what's happened previously. I will say that if folks are interested in, I'm interested in understanding what does accountability look like, and also understanding that we cannot force accountability onto anyone. The only thing that I can create are consequences. And if someone wants to own up to the harm that they've created or take accountability for that, that's really up to that person. And then if, and I can create the boundaries and the consequences to ensure everyone's safety moving forward. Because I do not want to get caught up in litigating issues that I have no, I was not there for. And also this is, again, with the prior programmers that were dismissed, it was, at this point, it's an issue of legality and safety, and I can't, they are not coming back. I just want to continue to reiterate that. But I appreciate everyone, and I want us to look at ways that we can ensure, that conflict and harm, we're addressing it proactively moving forward, because there are opportunities for us to understand how to better care for one another. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate that. Any other questions for our general manager? I have a couple if I could, before you leave. The post-drive autopsy, I saw the challenges here, staffing, some economic factors, which I think are pretty impactful, seeing as though most of the inflation is kind of soaring right now. But within there, there's a suggestion that maybe the drive coincided with Mother's Day weekend. Would there be a push to, or like a decision to avoid that weekend going forward in terms of the drive, or is that just kind of, we locked in, just kind of historically, or is there a reason why maybe we're on that weekend that we can avoid it in the future?
Yeah, I think the goal is to try to avoid it in the future. So we looked at the numbers previously, and Mother's Day has always performed poorly. I think we predict, right? We can only guess. It's that most people are out enjoying time with their mamas or engaging in rituals or ways to honor their moms, and not necessarily listening to the radio. And also, I don't know about y'all, but I was spending a lot of money on my mom on Mother's Day as well. So I'm sure that's maybe how some folks were feeling. But yeah, great question.
And then a quick follow-up on that as well, in terms of the challenges. I'm really interested in this, and maybe there's a way that you all will be rolling this out, which is the promotion of the station online. I know our program director has sought, or really kind of tried to reinforce to a lot of the programmers, that you need an online presence, social media, so on and so forth. But would that be something that an investment would be made by the station to actually educate and walk people through what that looks like, how that works, so that there is a much larger online presence amongst the programmers?
Yes, that's another great question. You know, we're not asking folks to be the next Insta baddie, but we are asking folks to, like, how do you nurture your following, your listeners? Because we need to go where our people are, right? That's the credo of any good organizer, is to be where our people are, and our people are online. Our people, you know, we are. A lot of folks are streaming their content, getting their news from online platforms. So how can we raise, you know, just like say we're also here. So with that, I, you know, as part of my report, we put the call out for a development intern and a communications intern. And the hope is that along with the branding project that we have going on with refreshing the website and putting together more communications assets, that we'll create templates or ways for programmers to really just share us what do they have going on so that we can amplify it on social media. And also create some best practices around, if you decide to start your own Instagram page, Facebook page, or what have you, here are some things that you might want to consider. And as well as we do currently have a contract with Black Star Media. I think that's what they're, apologies if I'm getting the name wrong. We do have contracted a consultant who helps us with our social media and has done a really excellent 50-page document audit of all of our social media and ways that we can improve on it. Everything from our newsletters to what we post, how we post, when we post. And I want to start implementing that with him. And so there must, some of the programmers will, you might see some, asks that come out, wanting some more photos, wanting some, or us just grabbing audio clips from their shows so that we can better promote them. So the goal is to, and the great thing is that we've gotten really granular with the data. Looking at the data of how many streams we're having online and through the app, and then predicting how much money is being raised per hour per stream, and when we experiment and do these different strategies or tactics with social media, with our newsletter, with the website, we can kind of see what sort of trends or happen. And I'm excited to roll that out. I know. But a communications intern, just going back to that, it's posted on our website and also on our Instagram. If you want to learn more about that, I've been doing direct outreach to Howard and UDC, really wanting to get folks as a way to get students really interested in the radio and learning more while also supporting the station. And it's also a paid internship. Yeah. So if you know any students who are looking for internship, please send us send them our way.
All right. No, it sounds great. I have one more hand. Member Pinchback, you have the floor.
Okay. Santa, one last question for you. The election's coming up. Begins June 1st. I'm sure we're going to talk about it later in the meeting. But I wanted to ask you, would you have any objection to a month-long campaign to inform listeners, staff, and the public about this, about the vote? Not debate the vote, but that this is what's going to take place. This is what you got to do to vote. Would you have any objections to using our own airwaves to promote that process?
I think that sounds great, especially with ranked choice being on the ballot. I know that's been confusing to a number of voters. I think that, we've talked, Katia and I have talked about maybe doing a PSA or two, just talking about voting. And I would actually strongly encourage programmers to think about what guests that they're inviting, especially rank the vote, folks who can talk more, expertly about what does it mean for ranked choice voting? Because I think folks are confused, especially if a candidate doesn't get at least 50%, then what does that mean? It's a very important election happening in D.C. this year.
Okay, and that's why I hope we can. That's why I was thinking that some kind of daily exposure highlights that fact. So, thank you, Shane. I appreciate it.
All right, sounds good. And any other questions before we let our general manager go? Member Byfield, you got
Yes. I was at the library today and I noticed that they had some, paper, you know, promotions for ranked choice voting. But what I want to say is, Brother Ambrose had, spoken about just putting some, the political, election, on the front burner. And I think a person like himself that's probably quite knowledgeable about city politics, may even want to look into that. He can speak to that more eloquently than I can. But, I know that the paperwork that was at the library was basic. I think the district pays for that, for just the promotion. So I don't know if it's in the form of a grant in terms of legality that the station itself can get some of those type of donor dollars, and a person like him can maybe spearhead that rather than, and then we can, you know, program director and you guys can decide how you want to proliferate it station-wide through PSAs or what have you.
Right. Right. Appreciate that. Anything else? Shanna, do you have anything final? You good to go?
Yep. Thanks, everyone.
No, thank you. Appreciate it. Get well.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Take care. Yep. Thanks. All right. With the permission of you all, we can move forward to our finance committee reports from Tom Chase. Mr. Chase is here. Any objection? Hearing none, we will hear from Treasurer Chase. You have the floor.
Great. Thank you. So the report went out just before the call. I apologize for the lateness. Made two main points to make, or three, I guess. One is just overall, we basically were on budget in terms of revenue and our operating expenses. The two additional points I'd make is one, we got the final fiscal 25 numbers from the national office, and there was a payment that we made at the very end of September to ASCAP for licensing. That was about $20,000 that I was showing in the reports I've made to you all being in FY25. And I thought I had caught that in our comments on the draft final numbers from the national office, but I didn't. So, that 20,000 is not in FY25 as an expense and is in FY26, the current year, as an expense, even though we didn't budget for it, this year. So we have kind of an extra 20,000 of expense that we didn't budget for that came from last year. Of course, we have that extra in last year's revenue, if you will, net revenue. So last year, the number from the national office, we had a net revenue. I don't have that open. I think it was around 101,000. And I had told you all it was going to be 90,000. So there was some from the 20 and some from some other areas where we were off a little bit. But bottom line on that is FY25, we came out better than I had told you in our net revenue, a little bit, about 10,000. And in the current year, we're still currently on budget, even with that 20,000 hit. And with the third point I want to make tonight, which is an unexpected expense that we had from the national office. It's a contribution towards the audit that's being conducted currently and just got started in April. And so all of the stations were asked for $7,000 plus. And I added that number into the line for the central services fee. So normally each month we pay $12,640 to the national office as the central services fee, which all of the stations are supposed to be paying and have been supposed to be paying. That would pay for these things, but PFW wasn't paying prior to, I think, we were lapsed in FY24, and we got caught up in 25, and we're so we paid up all in 25 and all in 26. We haven't gone back to pay up. Nobody's asked to go back. But there are stations that are currently still not paying, or I should say are not currently paying. I'm not quite sure their history. But currently BAI and KPFK are not paying. And I think some others in the past as well, but have now come back online. So long story short, the national office doesn't have the money to pay for the audit. They've now gone out and assessed the same amount to every station. And it's unclear how long that tax will continue. The audit is scheduled to go through the summer, July or August, for the 2002 and 2003 audits. I'm sorry, 2022 and 2023. And then immediately following those, they'll start the 2024 and 2025 audits to finish all four of those by November-ish. Again, it's unclear to me, and I've asked, you know, through Shana for some guidance for budgeting, is like, are we going to get that same amount every month between now and November, or what? It's unclear, but my expectation is, given the current, like, you know, I went back and looked at the National Finance Committee discussions on this, and yeah, it seems like this request will keep coming each month, and potentially at the same level, which could amount to about $50,000 for us over the next 7 months for the audit. So, I mean, that's my speculation. Again, I haven't got numbers for what the out months will be, but, you know, it could be as much as that in my expectation. And Julia, I saw, is on the line. She may have some more to add to that. But, yeah, those are kind of the three main points for the current assessment. We're basically on budget, again, still in the current year. We had the correction from last fiscal year, just moving that expense into the current year. And then finally, the this issue with the helping contribute to the audit in real time. Yep, that's my report. Thank you, Chairman.
Couldn't get off of that. All right, thank you. You heard the report from Treasurer Chase. I'll take a stack at this time. 2 minutes. Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom, for that report and your candidness about that $7,000, because I wasn't sure whether that was just a rumor, a nasty rumor, but you validated it and confirmed it. And as I understand what you're saying is that we're going to be charged that continually every month until they've completed the audits. Is that it?
Well, my expectation is that we will continue to receive an assessment. I don't know what the level will be each month or how many months it will go, but I expect that we will be asked again to make a contribution.
So it could be more or it could be less in the future going forward.
I would expect it to be less, but I think, but it, I would expect more to be requested.
Mm-hmm. And you said all five of the stations are paying the same amount?
Yes.
Even the stations, BAI, and I think you said KPFT, that are not paying their central services?
They at least they were asked to pay the same amount. Whether they do or there's other discussions I'm not aware of, I can't answer that. But they were requested to pay the same amount.
So by us needing to pay that $7,000, does that, do we remain on budget or is that knocking us into the,
I mean, right now we're still on budget. We had, more net revenue at this point than we needed. You know, we're budgeting, if I'm not looking at it, positive 90,000, I believe, net revenue for the year. And we're currently still around projecting 106,000 for net revenue. So we're still looking at a good, you know, to be ahead on net revenue. Although we've had a down fund drive this drive, you know, we still have some investments that we'd like to make this year, but we haven't made much progress on those on the engineering front. So yeah, overall, I think we're still in good shape on the budget. It's not compromising us, now, but I think if it was 7,000 a month through the end of the year, we need to think about, you know, how to manage that. And that's why I'd like to get clarity. But I don't, you know, I don't know what it is besides this month.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
You bet.
Member Byfield, member, wait a minute, hold on a second. Secretary Carter, did you get member Goodwin as present? I think that's you, Sue, correct?
Yes, I did. I did get him. Yes, thank
that's
you.
Correct.
Very good. Member Byfield, 2 minutes. You have the floor.
Thomas, thanks so much for your work and for uncovering that and clarifying that situation. Are we still on target for that projected, I think it was $1.6 million?
Yes, I think so. I mean, we're struggling on the underwriting. We're halfway on the grants. So those are kind of the two large revenue pieces that are uncertain. But on the listener revenue support side, we're tracking budget. And on the grant side, we're halfway to our goal. And the in-kind support, while it balances out, is actually had come through this year as well. The $50,000 for the social media work that Shana was mentioning was funded this year. And so, we're pretty much right on with all that.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet.
Member Goodwin, welcome. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. And I apologize for not being there when I should have been. But my report about the news is that, first of all, in terms of headlines.
Wait a minute, wait. Let me let this finance wrap, and then we'll swing back to you. How about that, okay?
Of course.
Yeah, let's do that first. Thank you. Member Tingling Clemens and member Yowie.
Thanks. And thanks for the report, Tom. Okay, question. When you say we have a positive $90,000 revenue or budget, does that mean that's in excess of what it's costing? Is that additional money? So that means that that's money that would be available to do things like hire additional staff?
Yes. So at the end of the year, when we balance the books, we would have an extra $90,000 going into the new year to do. I mean, currently we're sort of holding that in, reserve isn't the right word. It's an informal word, but, you know, we're holding it as to make investments if something comes up in an emergency or for the moving fund or a rainy day type situation. And you can see that reflected in the report with the cash balance. We do have a, we have a pretty good, you know, that number rolls over from year to year, right? That as you grow your net revenue. So yeah, we have money to make investments or protect us in this, you know, a mild downturn, but we're not anywhere near where, you know, a healthy nonprofit would be in terms of a reserve fund. I'll leave it at that, if that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thanks.
You bet.
Thank you. Member Yowie and member Avery Brown in that order.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Tom.
You mentioned, I have two questions. You mentioned that grants and underwriting, I got the impression that they weren't progressing as you would like for them to. Could you speak a little bit more on, you know, what's going on with that? If it's going a little slow, are there problems in the way?
Sure. So first, let me say on grants, that's less of a concern. Again, you can just see from the numbers, we're halfway there. Mm-hmm. Aize has been working very hard on that. He's got some prospects. And so, I think we'll make up some of the gap, whether we'll make the whole gap or not, I can't really say at this point. On the underwriting, I am more concerned about, and I'm more responsible there. So, my concern is, and I've raised it with this group before and with the staff, and we're working on it, is still, you know, if we're going to take money from people to run announcements, mm-hmm. we've got to be sure we're running their announcements. At this point with the first two, I'll just say we didn't do a good job. And, until we get that right, I'm not going to go out and try to sell these. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll get it right soon. So, but whether we can close that gap by the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of September, is what I'm not so sure about. I think if we, you know, when we get it up and running and we're confident that, you know, we tell somebody we're going to run 50 spots and 4 spots a day or, you know, whatever, that we do it and we document it, mm-hmm. Then I think we can, you know, this will go. But until we get there, and I don't think we're there yet.
Right.
We got work to do.
Right. There were a number of initiatives, I would say, that were in the GM's report. And I was wondering if you thought that might be helpful in terms of the underwriting effort. Like, I don't know, just seems like the trainings and certain things that she had in her report.
Yeah. So, you know, she's been doing a really great job, particularly with donors. And, you know, one of the challenges we have with our accounting system is it's hard to track, when the contribution from a donor comes in, especially if they do it well. Like, I would just kind of leave it maybe at that. I don't want to get into, there's a lot of different ways that it gets in and how we can identify it and things like that. But what right. I would say is we don't have a good system where, you know, if she goes out and gets a certain number of commitments, you know, we can run a report that shows, okay, those commitments have been filled. And, you know, at least as far as I know, maybe she's got a spreadsheet and a thing that is working for her. But, you know, I think we'll get there. And I've been working with Shayna on some of the data she mentioned, some of the streaming statistics. And so, you know, we're making progress, pulling different data together to create reports that don't take a long time to generate and regenerate each month. But right now, I do think the all of these ideas will help us. And in parallel, we got to get these reports and everything so we can act on data. Like we can measure it and then we can act on it.
Okay. Well, one quick last question. ASCAP, what does that stand for?
I'm sorry. It's a body that collects the royalties for artists. And I don't know the actual acronym, but they aggregate the royalties. So we pay them and they pay the artists.
Oh, okay.
For the music. Right.
Thank you.
You bet.
Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Okay, yes. So Tom, with that net $90,000 that we have this month at least.
No.
I'm wondering if a portion of that could be designated to devoted to a moving fund for us. There are some people that are still, you know, working towards getting our own
our own spot, our own location? And what process would it have to undergo in order to accomplish that? And I know you said that, you know, the average nonprofit, 90,000 is not all that impressive. We should be having more than that, but that's what we have. So, and at the same time, I realize we have to use some of that to implement some of the programs that the new general manager is suggesting, like paid internship and that sort of thing. But can't we look ahead and maybe put some of that towards a savings fund for a new location for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what's happening. I mean, as I mentioned, we, you know, when you look in the report, there's a tab that talks about our cash position. That's our current actual bank account balance. Okay. So the 90,000 is the net revenue for the year. The cash balance is, you know, we have ups and downs of revenue and expenses and all of that. So, you know, but, you know, we have money in the bank. We're basically, you know, I mean, Shana has to decide how to allocate it. We're working on, you know, she came in and has a budget that we put together last year, and that's what we're working from with the understanding of these adjustments she's mentioned, which work within what we have so far. And I think as, you know, as within the current fiscal year, and then we're starting the process to plan for the, you know, next fiscal year and even out to 2030 is what I'm starting to put together. So I think, you know, in the next couple of months, as we put together the budget for next year, there'll be a clearer picture on how much of, you know, kind of our fund account, WPFW fund, you know, will go towards investments, what'll go towards moving or capital or, you know, whatever. And, you know, I expect that Shana will have many discussions with many people as the organization formulates the budget.
And this is the final question. It should have probably been directed at Shana, but I didn't think of it at the time. Do we have other fundraising events in the pipeline other than another pledge drive?
Right. Well, she mentioned there's a music event at the Palisades coming up, and we're shooting to have those roughly every month, every other month. We signed, you'll see this in the next budget. We signed the contract for the 50th anniversary event next year at Martin's Crosswinds. We'll have the whole place. We're looking to have a Jazz and Justice Festival outdoors in September timeframe. And the grant money we received earlier is going towards that. So we do have other fundraising activities. And that's part of also the need to bring in the coordinator, particularly on the donor side. I know Shana is doing a lot of work cultivating individual donors and working with art and, Craig, Art and Craig, on the major donors and the bequests and those sorts of things. So
thank you, Tom. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. We have a couple more hands and then we'll let Tom take a little break here. Member Nyawi and Member Byfield in that order.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't put my hand down. I'll put it down now.
Legacy.
Yes.
Member Byfield. You might be Legacy also.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Go for it.
Following up on what Verna asked about in terms of, it's almost like a building fund, but we have a relocation committee that is, I don't know if we're meeting right now anymore. However, that was its sole purpose to continue to look at the current real estate market and determine what was the best move. And I think incorporated in that is also the notion of having a building, having a fundraiser for a building fund where I guess you would then manage that fund. We would, you know, that would go into the kitty as, even if we have a 1-day drive for specifically that. But, I just thought that was the purview of the relocation committee. Let me just say that.
All right. Thank you. Tom, I got a couple questions and then, we can wrap on the, additional, I guess 7,000. What's your sense of the national office or the national board, coming back and penalizing us if we are not able to reach, our budget this year? Given the fact that they're taxing us this additional monies, are they expecting, a profit even though we're, being taxed additionally? What's your sense there?
I don't know. I did after we talked at the finance committee meeting, I went back and listened to the most past two finance committee meetings. They haven't made much progress since I, was keeping track. And, one thing they're working on is they want to come up with a reporting format that all the stations need to provide so they can keep track of who's on track and whatnot. And after much long discussion, somebody said, well, why don't we just figure out, why don't we pay attention to the ones that aren't paying their central services fee and just use that metric, and I'm like, okay, that sounds good. But yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Hopefully they'll keep on the people that need to pay the central services fee. And, I feel like that's the first one I pay each month because there's no invoice required and I pay it on the first and whatever. But, we want the headquarters to run and be able to pay their bills. Like, we should pay that and everyone else should. So on the report, there's that. And then, they've struggled around this issue with how to pay for it. And I just think, they've got to realize they can't hold us to a standard that they can't meet themselves. That would be my answer, but.
Yeah. And then what was the expectation, that the national office had with regards to the cost of the audits? Did they have a number in there, that they were anticipating that they'd have to pay this year, seeing as though we were behind several years?
I haven't seen that reported in the committees, publicly. I didn't go back and look at their fiscal 26 national budget. I don't even know if I have it for the national office. To see, I did go look at 2025 and there was no, they didn't pay any money for audits. So it wasn't in the actuals, but I'll check that if I have the 26 budget for the national office and see what they budgeted. But I mean, come on, 4 audits, like it's not cheap, right? And we had to hire these people like at a shotgun. I mean,
No, I hear you. All right. Anything else for Treasurer Chase? All right. Hearing none. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Pretty comprehensive. We had you on the hot seat this week or this month. All right. With your permission, I'd like to move to community outreach as we have about 12 minutes before we hear from our listeners. So is Member Diamond?
Yes.
We have 10 minutes for this, but we have 12 before we have to go to our listeners. So go ahead. You have the floor.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I believe everybody received our report. We met on May 5th, and members present were Arthur, Ellen, Terry, Marsha, Sabu, Shayna, Michelle, myself, and Martha, Mariah, and Kamal were excused. We just talked about planning for upcoming events, including the town hall meeting, which is scheduled for June 13th at New Bethany Baptist Church. And we talked, we had a report about the 5K event that is going to take place on September 12th. And we talked about potential community partners and speakers for the town hall. And I must apologize because I was out of pocket for a minute and I have to get back. I have to get with Chairperson Kamau on the new restrictions for the town hall. But people suggested the very competent Verna Avery Brown or Roach Brown as participants maybe to help us address the voting rights. But I haven't had a chance to reach out because I wanted to be clear on that. We talked about the newsletter and the new format and the calendar of events and, you know, just what exploring more ways to coordinate with the community events that Craig's is doing so we could maximize efforts to duplicate them. And for the 5K event, children's activities and some Spanish language flyers. That's what that committee, I think that committee meets as like a subcommittee monthly with Martha very involved with it. And I guess that is about it. Tentative on the agenda, Mrs. Turner had talked about reviving the U Street Jam. And we're waiting, you know, I don't know what is going on with that, but that's something that may potentially come up. I think that's about everything. The main points as well. Yeah, those were the main points.
All right. You've heard the community outreach report. We'll take a stack with any questions. Anything for community outreach? So one of the important things, I'll just amplify one of the statements from Member Diamond, is our town hall. So on the 13th of June, we'll be meeting at New Bethany Church, and we need maximum participation and really assistance from as many folks on hand as possible. We want to make sure, as we did in the last one, it was back in December, that our presence is strong. I know we had a nice online presence as well, but we want to make sure that we have enough people there to adequately host this town hall. So please consider marking that on your calendars for the 13th of June. We typically start at 12 noon, Member Diamond, is that correct?
Right, yes.
Typically start at 12 noon, and then we'll be serving some refreshments, I believe, as well. So the committee will get more details, but please reach out to the chair, Member Diamond, and give your commitment to her in that committee so that we will have a really strong showing for our town hall, okay? All right. Stack is here, so Member Pinchback, Tingling Clemens, and Avery Brown in that order. Pinchback.
How you doing?
Right.
Just my one quick question. The town hall, are there any plans to use part of that platform to get people's to inform people about the election in terms of not to debate whether what it is, but to get people prepared to participate? Is there any thought about finding some way to incorporate that in the town hall?
Yeah, I mean, Member Diamond mentioned that they were considering Member Avery Brown or Roach Brown to discuss that. So it'll be part of the agenda for sure.
Unless you were talking about the Pacifica elections, which one were you talking about?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, which one are you talking about?
Well, yeah, the Pacifica elections, you know, are, you know, the PFW elections. That's what people need to understand. And we need to, I was trying to think of ways we can get that word out, you know, to as many of our listeners and staff as possible, and create a mechanism that, you know, like I said, whether it's through PSAs or whatever. But as far as the town hall goes, I'm hoping that that somehow we can incorporate some method about that, some information about that, so that people will understand what's at stake. That's my phone. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, what's going on?
Robocall, man. Robocall. You know how to do this time of night. You know, but yeah, that's my thing. My question to you. I would be willing to help also.
Oh, okay, good. Because we did discuss it, you know, with the date that we could, but we haven't talked about, we haven't firmed up how and what's the best way and how to gather the information. So I'll make a note too that Ryan, you're willing to help with that. So that would be good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Tingling Clemens, you have the floor.
Yes, this is actually to make a minor correction to the report. There's several places where it references 3DC, and I'm pretty sure that was supposed to be 3DC.
Yep.
I know it sounds the same, but being that that's an organization that we're talking about establishing a partnership with, probably be good to get the name in there right.
Okie doke. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. And Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Yes, Violetta, could you please expound on exactly what I was suggested to lead the discussion on regarding voters' rights? Are we talking clarification, national elections or Pacifica elections? I'm just a little...
No, it was the regular, you know, what's going on in the world as far as voter suppression. And, because we were talking about consistently with the town halls having a community issue, you know, to address, like we kind of did last time. So, yes.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll talk more about that offline, but that's certainly a number one critical issue for the country right now.
Right.
So I'd be happy to participate in that. Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. And Member Lane, you have the floor.
Yes. If you all did not know, I just did a whole show analysis of Louisiana versus Calais and what needs to be done to counteract. Because everybody's talking about getting the vote out, but there are other very specific ways to counteract Louisiana versus Calais.
Oh, great.
Got it. All right, really quickly, we did miss our news report. Member Goodwin is here. She'd like to address the body. You have 3 minutes. Member Goodwin. I thought she was here. Sue, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you very much. And first, let me apologize for my not being there when I should have been. But my quick summary of news is, first of all, there is news. And we do our best to cover it every day. We have a policy of focusing on certain themes that we try to update every day. And right now, that would be the erosion of the Voting Rights Act and the surge in redistricting. So we do our best, as I said, to bring that up to date. And Iran, and where we focus on the rhetoric coming out of the White House and Israel and truth squatting, and also the way in which the U.S.-Israeli war on Iran is affecting people all over the world. So that's what I would say about our headlines. In terms of the newsletter, that we send out every week. We keep working on getting it better. We want to increase the number of people receiving the newsletter and make it more efficient in the way we send it out. And I want to appreciate the programmers who are doing a much better job of getting us their information in a timely manner. And we will be working with programmers on the language and how to promote their shows in the best way in the newsletter. And I think that's about all I have to say.
All right. Thank you so much. You heard from Member Goodwin. We're about at time certain here for our community comment. So let's go ahead and shift gears if we can and make sure we hear from our listeners. So if those who would like to come and make a comment, have a question, have a concern, have a praise, please come forward at this time as we are recognizing all community members. Come on up. I see a hand. Dixon Briggs, welcome.
How much time, Mr. Chair?
Please? 3 minutes. Full 3 minutes. Okay. Yep.
Oh, I better talk fast because I know that timekeeper of yours, he takes no prisoners.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Just so keep everybody informed.
Oh, okay. I know how you are.
Just straight up information.
Mm-hmm. Don't count these comments against my time.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, you got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left.
Ooh, no, you didn't. Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. So I tuned in late, so I didn't hear all of the GM's report. But what I did hear, it sounded good. She was, you know, sounds like she's doing a really good job based on what I'm hearing. So that's always wonderful. I've heard good programming. The wonderful programming continues. I'm going to call out Sophie's Parlor. I'm sure there are others, Verna's show, Joni's show, other shows. I haven't heard Kamal lately, but his show always rocks and rolls. And there was something that I heard about programmers registering. So I don't know if you already covered that. I'm just trying to figure out what that is and what it means. In terms, especially if it has any relationship to the what I'm going to call the illicit New Day 2025 bylaws, and that there would be no representation by programmers. I don't know if that starts in this year, this election, or next year. And then comment, the lawsuit is in progress. Just to let you know that the lawsuit filed by the interveners across the network at each of the stations is in progress. So the fight against the illicit New Day 2025 bylaws, undemocratic as they are, is in process. That fight is still on. So just a couple of questions, Chair, and just that comment.
Yeah, not a problem. We'll take a stack. I have the questions here, and we'll address those here shortly. Hakeem, you have the floor.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. A couple of things. I'm calling in for the cab. We are still afloat. We had several members leave. But our dilemma is that we're trying to figure out what is the status for the cabs in general for all of the stations. We had, I think, we did a survey which turned out very well in the station and used some of that in their promo stuff. So we did do some things, and we're just, there's enough of us still there that we like to keep, you know, keep that together and stuff, but we need what, you know, criteria that they have laid out for the cab. And I see there's just some kind of, lawsuit or something going on based on what Vanessa just said. So I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That's on the cab, but we're still around. The other thing is I like to make one of our members that was part of the community for a long time, Don Williams, who is, he's very, very, very ill, you know, and he's on Connecticut Avenue. So if any, you know, it's like I went to business. Yeah. So, if there's anybody who would like to, you know, see him or something, he's available that you can get over there. I'm quite sure he would love to see some of the radio folks, but, yes, he's not doing well. So I just want to put that out there for folks. That's about it for me from the community.
Thanks, Hakeem. We'll definitely address the CAB, I think, in our next block of comments, especially from our directors, if they have anything for us. While we wait for our next community member to answer the question directly from Dixon Briggs, there is a what they're calling a volunteer or a programmer's registry or portal. It's being required for each programmer to log in and establish an account in this registry. This account will then hold the hours worked or volunteered, number of hours volunteered by each of the programmers. If your hours do not reach or exceed 30 hours between the dates of March 1st and May 31st, your eligibility as a programmer to vote in the elections will not occur. You will be ineligible. You must have those hours logged between the 1st of March, 31st of May. They must be at or exceed 30 hours. If that doesn't happen, you'll be ineligible to vote as what is called a staff member. There's some other ways to get on board and vote, but this has been the requirement that's come down from the national board, that they are asking all the programmers network-wide to do that. So that's what you're hearing. All right. Any other, unless you have a point of order, I'm going to hold you until we get through community comment. Okay. All right. Anybody else from the community want to speak to your favorite radio station? Call in user one. You have the floor. You have a full 3 minutes. Go ahead. You're on mute.
Okay, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. This is Serene calling from New York. A few things that I want folks to be aware of. You know, a group calling itself New Day Pacifica attempted to change our bylaws in 2021. They failed. They lost the referendum, primarily because the staff at WPFW and WBAI understood what they were trying to do with regard to the network and staff rights, and rejected the referendum. Our bylaws, what some would call the real bylaws, say that one class of members cannot impose an adverse set of conditions on another. So although the listeners voted for it, majority of the listeners voted for it, heavily from the California stations and, you know, KPFA is humongous. The staff did not agree to give up our rights. So that lost, but that didn't stop New Day from going around and making claims that they had won. And Pacifica brought suit to have them stop making that statement publicly. They were, in fact, saying to vendors that they were now in charge. That case was somehow, quote, settled by a New Day heavy PNB. And as part of the settlement, they came up with a set of bylaws that were even more horrible than what we'd rejected through the referendum. So there's some resentment, I would say, in some quarters. to what the staff at WCFW and WBAI. And I would urge people to be extremely watchful about what is being voted on. Not only were the bylaws, this quote, settlement, done in secret, the members still don't know what rights they've lost under this thing, should it stand, which is why, member Vanessa's comment is so key, and you should pay attention. I think there's a court date coming up, or a court deadline coming up later this month. So please get your friends and relatives to make sure their memberships are current. You have to have contributed at least $25 since July 1st of last year. For staff, they're claiming the qualifying period is March 1st to May 31st. I believe that is incorrect. Chances are we're going to end up having to discuss that problem with someone who can make the foundation pay attention to its own rules. Much more to say, but that's, thank you very much for your work. Thank you, right. Sir.
Yep, got it. Thank you. And Dixon Briggs, if you don't mind, I have someone who hasn't had an opportunity to speak. Call in 438 with the last three numbers. I'll go to that person first, and then I'll come back to you. All right? 438, you have the floor. Phone number ending in 438. You have 3 minutes.
Can you hear me? This is
438. Loud and clear. Okay. Go ahead. Yep.
Okay. I wanted to say for your town hall, I'm looking forward to it. I hope it will be well announced in advance, and some other method, like reaching out to the local university teachers, trying to get the youth's voices into this town hall. They may not even know about the station. So if you can reach out to the teachers to somehow, anyway, get the youth in, because that's what we need. We really need youth knowing that we actually exist. And maybe some other way, I don't know what, if you're just going to not talk at all about the ICE situation. Well, anyway, if you could welcome some anonymous input. KPFK had for a while a text number that was a running banner and the email. So in case they had audio, you know, problems with their call-ins, the people could text. They don't have that now. I think they had some technical problems. Anyway, that was a good thing, I thought. Two other things. KPFT was very lucky to have a landlord that willed its property on his death to Pacifica. So it was nice. But we also had a member who willed his house. It was about $150,000 or something like that when he died. So since you're looking for property, why don't you make a nice, friendly, creative, inviting ask if you people want to leave their property to WPFW? If you like that property, you can move in. And if you don't, well, the money will go to Pacifica, I guess, for the audits. I had wanted, I'm trying to find what I had written, and now I can't find it. Let's see if I can find it now. Okay. Well, anyway, this we had some weird LSB meeting last month, and the PNB chair told us that the candidates for the new election for LSB will have to give their social security numbers. I just doubt that's true. Anyway, I would like the national directors to check that. I hope that was just some kind of weird mistake. The general manager gave his report today on the air at our time, 9 a.m. and said that the PRA is also, the Pacifica Radio Archives is also going to pay that partial $7,000 per month. I don't know if
that's,
the general manager.
That's 3 minutes, Mr. Chair, just to let you
thank
know.
You. Thank you.
Sorry.
Sure. Back to you. Back to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, 438. I have Dixon Briggs. 3 minutes. You have the floor.
Hey there. So I just wanted to just follow up about this registry. So it seems like, and please forgive me if I'm describing it incorrectly, the purpose is to exclude programmers. How are their hours being documented? Who's doing the documentation? And tell me again, Kamal, sweetheart, I'm sorry, I have another Kamal over here who's my son. And I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Who's doing
how the hours? Go ahead.
Right. How are the hours being documented? And what was the period of time, the range of time?
March 1st, May 31st.
March 1st of
2026.
Last year?
We're in the middle of it. In about 11 days, we'll be expiring. You'll be at midnight on the 31st, if you're not in.
Okay, wait a minute. So you said March 1st of 2026 through May 31st of this year?
Yep.
So for that 60-day period, they have to have logged in, you said 30 hours per something.
30 hours in total. 30 hours in total.
Okay. Thank the person who spoke to why the New Day PNB is so determined to get rid of as many programmers as they can so they can't vote, because it was the programmers previously who voted against the New Day bylaws. They prevented it, and so that leads us to where we are with the manipulation and maniacal lying through the court system that's forcing us to engage in a lawsuit. So thank you for the further information and the caller who provided that context.
Not a problem. Thank you. We have a few what might be legacy. I'm not sure. Call in user one. Are you in seeking the floor again?
I am.
Okay. 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. So the last time I visited you at your last meeting in April, I invited you to listen to the governance committee meeting. Unfortunately, I sent a motion to the governance committee. I think it was the one about public comment. And lo and behold, the meeting was abruptly canceled because a bunch of people apparently said they weren't going to be available to meet. So we didn't meet, but as luck would have it, we meet on the third Thursday, and you meet on the third Wednesday. So guess what's happening tomorrow? Governance is meeting. So I hope you will join us. KPFTX.org, KPFTX.org should be live streamed. We've had a few issues, but hopefully none of them will interfere with this tomorrow. One of the things that what we're doing right now is public comment, and many of the stations have sort of eliminated public comment or eliminated the public from public comment. So KPFA had one where they only had organizations who had applied, who had called in response to an ad on the air to talk about their organizations. Now, we're nonprofit, and we deal with nonprofit organizations all the time. Our programmers are sometimes members. Many of us are members of nonprofits. So the issue is not whether or not nonprofits should have or people shouldn't be able to speak on behalf of their nonprofits. The issue is that they have completely excluded the ordinary member of the public from speaking. KPFT did a similar thing. They may have gone back to regular public comments. I don't know. I missed their last meeting. They meet on the same night that my LSB meets. KPFK did the same thing. So they would seem to be sending a message that we want your dollars, but not your voices. I don't know. That sounds pretty harsh. And I think it's counter everything that Pacifica was built to do. So I hope that is not the case, but I am very happy that you guys actually have, guys and girls, folks, people, that you have your public comment, that you have it at a reasonable hour instead of sticking it at the end of the meeting the way they do in New York at my board, and that you actually care, it seems, what folks think, that we're not just wallets, you know, but we're actually people with ideas and the community that supports community radio. So thank you for that, and please tune in 8:30 tomorrow night for the governance, PNB Governance Committee.
Got it. Thank you so much. And we have more time. And anyone wants to come to the floor, please do. Call in number 438. You were seeking the floor.
Yes. Can you hear me?
We got you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Last year in the National Governance Committee, it was, striking. The person who just spoke from WBAI made a motion in the National Governance Committee that we announce on the air that the bylaws has changed. And then the national member from KPFK said, no, that's not necessary. It's been posted on Pacifica.org a long time. How many of our members know about Pacifica.org? I don't think too many know. And so it was voted down. So, you know, our membership does not know this horrible, I mean, this new bylaws that was passed in secret is there. I mean, it's not being discussed in the call-in shows, not at KPFT. And this is very, I mean, like gone. This new bylaws is gone. Our local station board oversight of finance, well, now we can't do that anymore. What else is gone? LSB oversight over the general manager is now gone. The membership's right to recall an LSB is gone. Smaller LSBs from 24 people to 18, and it will decrease diversity at KPFT for sure, I promise you. Smaller PNBs from 22 people to 15, with two selected by, not by the, membership, but by the ones that already get elected. And a decrease of staff on the PNB from 5, one from each station, to only 2. That means the 2 largest stations, and it's not the W's, and it's not KPFT. It's going to be those others on the West Coast. They have more members. These 2 PNB staff will be elected by staff network-wide. And so, you know, that leaves the KPF Berkeley and L.A. There won't be any staff membership from the other stations. I mean, it most likely will not be. And then self-electing is back. The LSB will fill the vacancies, ignoring the right of runner-ups. And then elected 7 LSBs will elect 6. That's not the membership desire. That's self-electing. Our general manager said this morning, he made a mistake. I'm sure it's a mistake. He said by June 1st, you need your membership current. And I believe the rule is June 30th. I hope that's not changed. Things are so, weird.
That's 3 minutes, Mr. Chair.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hakeem, you have the floor.
Yeah, real quick, if anybody wants that information about Don, I have access to it, how to get in contact or go visit him. So you can get, everybody's got my number. Good?
Okay, you're talking about Don Williams.
Yeah.
Okay, so, beautiful. You have it? Okay. You want to Did you want to drop your number in the chat or no? You're not too anxious to do that?
No. up to you. Everybody can get to me. You know, people have my number.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else before I give some folks another bite at the apple? Anybody else? About 6 minutes. 2 minutes for these folks who are coming back up. Member Gordon, user number one, you have the floor. 2 minutes.
Oh, and I just want to mention this quickly because hopefully it'll be up and functioning very soon. The elections website, which had election reports from, you know, many years back, including the last election that showed how people ranked, that had the report from the election supervisor about her work. We have a new election supervisor this year. The website has been taken down completely. There's nothing there but her email address. And she says it'll be back up on June 1st. So they're pushing, you know, all these deadlines of June 1st, I think incorrectly, but they are pushing them. And in the meantime, the place where you should be able to turn and get information about the election, which is going to be quite different this year if they have their way, you get zilch, zero, nada. Anyway, it is elections.pacifica.org, elections.pacifica.org. And as always, for real useful information, you can check pacificafightback.org. I guess we'll have to break down the details about what they say they are doing for us, since they're so sure it's the right thing. They don't need to tell you about it by putting it on the official website. Go figure. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. 438. 2 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you got it. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll repeat one more time. If you want to read the new bylaws and the old bylaws with kind of scratch outs and underlines and the changes that were made, there is a report on pacificafightback.org, and it is the first item after the menu button. Your votes discarded, defend your rights. That'd be a good place to look. And I'm very sorry to hear Don Williams is sick. He is doing a good job in the PNB, and I really wish him speedy recovery. Also, I'm very happy about Ron Pinchback on the national board. I thank these two gentlemen very much. Back to you.
All righty, thank you. Any other comments before we move to our national board directors reporting? Oh, you think so? Okay. Yeah, Don is not Dennis. Call in 438. I'm not sure if that's Don and Dennis are two different people. Their last names are Williams, but they're two different people. FYI. All right. Hearing none, let's go ahead and Member Lane, you had something?
Yes, a question. And it's about voting. So I registered my hours, but I can't tell whether or not they took. I can't review whether or not they added up. I can't review any of that. And I know that I put an input of more than 30. So how do you check to see whether or not it took, whether or not it was inputted?
Well, I'm with you 100%. I was going to be snarky, but let's, we have that under our business, our new business. So.
Okay.
All that. All right. But that question is very important because, we're expected to put it in, but then nobody allows us to review our entries. That's not good. All right. Our national board directors reporting in that reverse order is Dennis Williams present. I don't know if he showed, if he came in yet or at all. Did Minerva Sanders come into the meeting? Is she present? Ron Pinchback, do you have something you'd like to report from the national board? Everybody running for the hills. No Ron.
Okay, here I am.
All right, let's go, sir. You're on deck. Anything from the national board?
Well, the national board put out a report at the last PNB meeting. Some of it's confidential. Which of it is confidential? Unfortunately, it's hard to determine. The one thing that, as we've been hearing, there's a lot of confusion, you know, surrounding this election. Dates, deadlines, who's eligible, and no info, if what's being reported, you know, no information on the Pacifica Elections website. You know, so we're going to have to, we can't rely on what we're getting, unfortunately. And so we're going to have to take it into our own hands to educate our potential voters. And we're going to have to be very aggressive about it. Otherwise, it's just going to, you know, these deadlines are going to just go by and people are going to say, well, what happened? You know, did you get a ballot? Will ballots be issued? It's a lot of confusion with this. And unfortunately, we're going to have to do everything we can to get our listeners and programmers to enter those portals. It's a conundrum. It really is. And I wish I had better news, but you know, that seems to be what's going on, you know, and it's unfair to everybody. You know, it's unfair to everybody. But that's where we are. Inconsistent statements, inconsistent policies. Not being able to, you know, how can you authenticate your participation when the process is not there to do so? So, gentlemen, ladies, we've got a problem that once again, we're going to have to just find a way, and like I said, that's why I'm thinking about the town hall and any other method we can to provide some publicity, not on the debate, but on the process, because that's what people need to know. They need to know this process so that they can participate. And it's not coming, that process is, you know, is evading them at this point. That's about what I have to say.
All right.
I'd be glad to hear what Julie or the Minerva, you know, if they have any comments about that too, because they see that this election is it's got problems, and what can be done about it? You know, that's the issue. Other than protect yourselves by getting in the portal, signing up, but you got to know that it's available. And right now, our people are not, you know, like aren't unaware of the availability. So we're going to have to put it in our hands to make sure that happens. And that's why I suggested at least a month-long campaign to do just that. And hope to work with the outreach coordinator to get some feet on the ground regarding this issue as quickly as possible.
All right. You good? Or?
Yeah, I'm good. I was just reading some of the chats, but yeah, I'm good. But that's the situation, and I'll be meeting with the outreach committee director so that we can start coming up with some concrete steps to make this happen.
All right, that's great. We have one other director here this evening, Member Hewitt. You have the floor.
Yeah, let me just touch on some stuff in the meeting, and then I'll come back to some of the issues that other folks have brought up, you know, through the course of the meeting and touch on them. So the PMB met on May 7th. When we met that evening, it was only an open session meeting. The agenda was mostly committee reports, and then we started working on some old business. One of the things that, and I don't think there's anything, actually the other thing that happened is I lost my notes, and at the same, my notes from that meeting in a computer crash. And we also had trouble getting the recording for that meeting posted for a little while because there were some issues at KPFTX. But that is, so I'm not very well prepared this evening. But I don't think we did a whole lot of consequence. One of the things, because we started chipping away at unfinished business. One of the things that came up for discussion again was the possibility of raising the membership fee. And one of the things that the PMB decided was they didn't definitively decide on the answer to that question, except that we weren't going to do anything in terms of raising the membership fee between now and after the record period for this current set of Pacifica elections. So we won't do anything until the July meeting of the PMB at the very earliest. And so the issue of, or the possibility of raising the membership fee, you know, is at least on hold for now. So so that's some good news. And I think basically, you know, while the PMB had talked about it, gosh, I don't even remember how many months ago it was that we first started talking about it. But back then it was before, you know, it was close to 2026 in the elections for Pacifica. And I think people now, you know, realize you can't make changes like that right before an election. So that was the big thing that happened there. And then a couple of things I wanted to point out. Just to, you know, make sure people are aware, June 30th is the day by which listener members have to have donated money. Listener members have to have donated at least $25 in order to be paid members in good standing, right? There's a second possibility for how you can become a listener member, and that is by volunteering hours. But, you know, to some of the stuff that Shana was speaking about earlier, you've got to log, I think it's 3 hours over a 3 month period, something like that. And so if you can't just say, I attended as, and, you know, and commented in community comment, an LSB meeting and call that community hours. They have to be volunteer hours that management at the station says, yes, you helped us out with this, right? So that's one thing. So if you're going to go the non-paid route, make sure that you're working with Vinnie Jack, you know, getting registered as a volunteer and that your hours there are being logged. Both of the things I just said were about listener members. And the date there again is June 30th. Okay, back to staff members. The thing there is that staffer, of course, welcome to donate funds to the station, but as staff members, the key thing is that you put in a certain number of hours, and I believe the number is something like 30, but don't quote me. I'm sorry, I'm not a staff member, so I don't have this part memorized. But it's something like 30 hours over a three-month period, and the idea is you are, unlike listener members, you're a staff member as long as you maintain that, you know, 30 hours over a three-month period. So if you stop working on a program, right, after that three-month period ends when you haven't contributed any hours as a staff member, right, and it's not just programmers but other staff as well, but once that 3-month period ends that you have contributed no hours, then you're no longer a staff member, right? And so that's why there's the focus on the March 1st to May 31st period as a three-month period, not a 60-day period, a three-month period. And the other trick is that with staff members, you know, you have to log into the system. And I agree, I've heard plenty of complaints from people that they're having some issues in getting registered in this portal system. And so it's really important that people do that. But at any rate, you get registered and you record your hours, and then the reason it's it only goes through May 31st when the listener members get till June 30th is because there has to be a period in there where folks confirm that in fact you really did put those hours in, so that people aren't manufacturing, you know, suddenly I worked, you know, a gazillion hours on something and the, you know, station management says, I haven't seen this person in, you know, 6 months or something like that. So at any rate, it's to make sure that, you know, elections are on the up and up. It's not about disenfranchising people. It's about making sure we have the record basis to demonstrate who's in which membership class and that they've met the requirements to be in that membership class. Okay. Let me go back to the question earlier about, I don't remember who said it. Sorry. Oh, Ambrose. I put my hours in the system, but I don't know, you know, if it's worked or not. And that's a great question. And of course, you want to know the answer to that too, because you know, you only have till the end of May, and so you want to make sure that it works out. So what I would do if I was you in that regard is I would read each of the general managers is responsible for selecting the person who operates the portal system, the management system for each of the five stations. So I would reach out to Shayna to make sure, because I don't know who it is at PFW that she appointed to help with the portal system. But reach out to Shayna and she and whoever the portal system manager person is can check and make sure that your hours are in there as you intend them to be. And then, of course, the other thing is, again, you know, like I said, somebody just manufactured a name and registered somebody in the portal, but it's, you know, somebody that, you know, station management has no idea, never heard of this person before. They might not approve that. Now, in Ambrose's case, I don't think that's a problem, right? But that's the thing. Or if somebody, you know, says I worked on the XYZ show and that's where I put my hours in and that was a show that got canceled, you know, a year ago, again, that'll be a problem for someone. But for everybody who's doing it legitimately, you know, in principle, it should work out. So that's my suggestion is check in with Shayna. She'll be able to help you or should be able to help you. There was something else that I wanted to. I can't remember what the other thing I wanted to mention that was from earlier. So at any rate, that's my report. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. You've heard from both Member Pinchback and Member Hewitt with regards to what is happening at your Pacifica National Board. I will take a stack. Member Lane, you have the floor, followed by Member Diamond. 2 minutes.
Thank you, Julie, for that information. The issue that I have is that once you log in your hours, you cannot verify it. And that means that you have to track down whoever the general manager assigned to get verified. Now, if you're talking about all the programmers having to do that, that's a little cumbersome. So there should be a way on the portal for a person that logged in hours to verify that they've logged in hours. That's one thing. Number two, you can change your password, but you cannot create your own password. You have to go by a list of passwords that Pacifica gives you, which means that you have to write it down or mark it down or memorize it somewhere in your head, some other crazy kind of password. We all have passwords, and we can remember most of our passwords because we created them. But when you have somebody else creating a password, that opens up the door to two things. Forgetting your password, number one, and number two, whether or not somebody else can go in behind you if they find your password. And so those are real issues. They're substantive issues. Now, when you sign into the portal, you can choose. You're not just choosing that you're a programmer, for example, because it will list as a programmer. It'll list the name of your program. But there are other things that are a part of it. Like, for example, whether or not you sign up for committees. I signed up for committees because I'm on the LSB. I consider that a committee. They don't have a slot for LSB. They have a slot for committees. So how many hours do I spend in committees? And then lastly, before Robert Gordon cuts me off.
Because your time has expired. But it's up to the chair. I'm just sharing information.
Quickly. What's your last point?
So the last thing is, and I just forgot it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you guys messing with Robert.
I know. If I remember, I'll put my hand up again.
Remember Diamond.
Okay, I had two questions, and one was the same one as far as committees, how to log those hours, like for the LSB, the outreach, and, you know, development committee for me. I wanted to know, you know, what is the way to log that? And the second one was for the people who term out, you know, those of us who came on the board on, I think it was 2021, I'm of the understanding that I'm done in June. Is that correct?
Why would you be done in June? No. Everybody, remember, there's a transitional period here that we're under in the new bylaws that takes everybody through 12/31/2026.
Oh, so it's December, not June. Okay.
Correct. This particular iteration is extended through 12/31/2026. All right. Member Tingling Clements, you have the floor.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay, this, I'm not a programmer, but now you've raised all of these questions about volunteers. Who catalogs who volunteers are? What is the status of people on the LSB? How does that register into the 30 hours? In other words, does this affect us at all? It feels profoundly
unjust. Are you done?
That is a question.
Okay. Yeah. No. The 30 hours pertains to one class of membership. It's not related to what you are, which is a listener member, right? If you are a volunteer staff, really volunteer, you would be required to be, set up in this portal and logging your hours. So, you're under a different requirement in terms of what you have to do by 6:30, which is either money or you have to have something, someone at the station saying Tingling Clemens did these many hours helping us answer phones or stuff envelopes, something of that nature.
So I'm a listener member, but I'm not a volunteer.
Okay, so you know it's tricky.
I'm not trying to be difficult.
No,
I don't,
no, no. It's definitely tricky. Somebody's
making up these definitions. I need to understand it.
100%, 100%. You have to go back to the bylaws. I don't have this completely memorized, but the listener member is created in a particular path. The volunteer member comes from a different path. So yes, you may end up volunteering to get a listener membership. That's one way to get there. But there's also this other path as a staff, which typically is those of us who are on a regular basis, you know, programming or engineering programs, helping out, different activities on a more regular basis. Most listener members are not at the station on a regular basis, which is why typically it's a $25 and you're good for that 12 months.
Okay.
So.
Can I just say two things come out?
Yeah, go ahead, please. Yeah, fill in.
Yeah, yeah. So exactly. So for listener members, I think the point is the station would mostly rather have the monetary donation. Right. Once you've given the monetary donation, you can forget about the volunteer stuff. You don't need it. Right. You're a member in good stand. As long as you've given that donation of at least $25 since July 1st, 2025. So it's a 1 year period for the membership. Right. Okay. Yeah. And then the other thing I want to point out for the, volunteer staff members who are donating their labor to the station and tracking those hours. I want to be clear, if you're associated with a program that's on air for 1 hour a week, you don't only count that 1 hour a week that the program is on the air. You count all the preparation time that you work on, you know, who am I going to interview on the show and lining up, you know, people to appear or, you know, choosing the music, et cetera, right? That doesn't happen, you know, in an instant. Well, maybe if you're a genius, but, you know, so you get to count those prep hours as well. And that's the sense in which I think, you know, most programmers are not going to, you know, unless you're only on the air, you know, rarely, most programmers are not going to have difficulty hitting that 30 hours over a 3 month period. And I totally hear everybody about the, how do I know? And I get you. And I'll try and get some response, you know, I'll ask those questions and try and get some responses for folks as quickly as possible. Cause I know it can't possibly feel good.
No,
I appreciate that.
Okay, now really
quickly,
hold up. Now.
Really, really quickly, we got some hands, but go ahead.
Yeah. So, unless I've contributed $25, then I have to worry about any hours that I put in.
If you've given $25 in the last 12 months, you do not need to be concerned about how many hours the station has recorded for you as a volunteer. That's correct.
And if I have not given $25, then I worry.
If you want to then be bona fide as a listener member, then you need to make sure the station management has your hours correctly logged as a volunteer.
Okay, so with that, if I was at every LSB meeting, see, I know the LSB is no longer going to count as anything of value. So I don't.
That's correct. You have to be under the, essentially under the management, lack of a better word, of the station management.
Right. All right. Okay, just trying to get it straight. Thank you.
So am I. You're very welcome. Member Lane, you've had a bite already. Let me go to Member Avery Brown, Hirsch, and then I'll come back to you, sir. So, Avery Brown, you're up.
Yes. Okay. A couple of things. Julie, with all due respect, I hear where you're saying it's not intended to disenfranchise anybody. But in fact, in reality, that's exactly what would be happening. The consequences of them not, the programmers not getting properly registered would be that they would be unqualified to vote or to run as a candidate. Now, we have over 100 programmers right now. Only, what, like 56, according to Vinny. And Vinny, by the way, is the point person for WPFW. Not necessarily Shayna, but Vinny. So if those, if nobody else registers, then that means half of our programmers will be unqualified to vote or to run as candidates. Now, I'm a little confused about them running as a candidate. Julie, what do these newly imposed bylaws say about programmers being able to run for an office anyway? And are these new bylaws in effect now for this or not?
Let me, I see this as a very important matter, and we're under the PNB reporting. I do have this on the agenda as part of new business. So I'll defer to you all. Do you want to continue on this conversation? And I think we're going to have time certain at 9:05, or do we want to pick it back up in about, it's like 15 minutes under, 20 minutes under new business? Anybody? We can continue the conversation. I'm just letting you know if there is an agenda piece to it. So your question again was, it's not intended to disenfranchise, but it is?
It will, in fact, disenfranchise, you know, half of our programmers if they're not properly registered. And what is the, which bylaws are we operating under?
Okay.
Yeah. We can pick it up in the
agenda. The reason why, and I don't mean to be coy with this, the reason why the bylaws we have to operate under are the bylaws that were approved April 3rd, 2025. That's where we are. Is there someone or some group disputing those? Of course. But that doesn't, you can't say, you can't use two bylaws at the same time. Okay, so we got to go with the ones that are there based on the history that's happened, and then we go from there. What we need to do, and this is part of the thing that Verna, you and I talked about, Ron, so on and so forth, is any obstacle that's in our way, we have to overcome it. Got to go right through it. If there's only 56, then we got to make sure we get to 156 or whatever it is. And the only way we're going to do that is it's incumbent upon us as staff representatives on the LSB, because I will tell you, management of the station didn't know anything. There's been very little communication that's come out directly to programmers from the national body. So it's incumbent upon us. That's it. So all this, you know, kind of wish they did this, wish they did that, they didn't. And it's only going to be us that makes it happen. All right. So we have some more to talk about. Like I said, when we get to new business, but hey, we can complain, we can do whatever, but this is the hurdle that's in front of us. Let's conquer it. Remember,
well,
I'm
agree,
sorry.
Totally. I agree. However you want to handle this, Kamau.
We're going to do it. We'll talk about it, but this, you know, we're, I want to get through the stack, but we'll have an idea about how we're going to approach this shortly. Member Diamond and Member Hirsch and then Member Lane in that order.
Okay, I just had a question about the volunteer staff people. Is there a similar, like the listeners, if they pay $25, is there a similar thing for the volunteer staff programmers that donate money? Is there a threshold?
Let me read to you an email. This comes from the election supervisor, Anya Lovest, dated May 19th, 2026, 12:46 p.m. Eastern. She says here, if volunteer staff member has not created a profile in the team member database by May 31st, 2026, they are welcome to pay $25 by June 30, 2026 and become a listener sponsor member. This will allow volunteer staff member to participate in the election. That was her email. All right.
Okay. So a listener, not staff. Okay.
If you are a staff currently and you can't get through the portal by the 31st, they're going to flip you if you pay $25 to a listener member. Okay.
Okay.
Nice. Which means you can't vote in the staff election.
Member Hirsch. That's correct. Member Hirsch.
I just wanted to quickly remind the chair that we raised money for the parliamentarian. I think that all or many of us contributed $50, so we should be okay. Of course, that's just for us, but just wanted to remind everybody.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Member Lane.
Yes. And then thank you again, Julie. So when I registered, and I registered ours, but there are several categories. I did do exactly what Julie said, which was I logged hours in preparation for my show. I also logged the hours of my show, and I also logged the time I spend on LSB meetings through the committee piece. Okay. So, you know, about every month, and you can do it every time your show appears. So if your show is once a week, you can do it for four days or 5 days out of the month. Okay. So I clearly have more than 30 hours, but one of the things that I found peculiar was when you do that, it also has a box where you can describe your activities. So in other words, if I'm preparing, I can describe my preparation. I thought that was a little too much. I didn't even bother to put that in because that's a whole lot of time I got to spend trying to describe what I'm doing every daggone week. I ain't doing that. Okay. And it wasn't mandatory either. That box was not mandatory. So when management sees that I've logged in those hours, I am hoping that they don't consider them fraudulent because I did not describe the hours. Okay. I'm not just going to take the time and describe in detail every single show that I prepare for, how much I prepare for, what things I looked at on the internet, how much books I read about it. I'm not doing all that. Okay. But I did log in my hours. And so I want to make sure that they are captured. And I would even say from this body that whoever is the person, we shouldn't have to track them down. Let me say that. We shouldn't have to track them down. They should be looking at every person who logged in hours and send out an email verifying who has their hours and how many hours are logged. I shouldn't have to track down Victor or whoever the hell it is, Vinny. I don't want to do that. I ain't got time for that. They should be sending out an email saying, Ambrose Lane, and list the hours that I've logged in that are verified. Okay. And they should do that for every programmer. Now, if we have a real shortage in terms of the number of programmers that sign up, then we have to do an alternate and say, well, pay your $50. Even though you won't be able to vote for programmers, you can vote for volunteers. So we got to get the message out. You're right, Kamal.
Yeah, absolutely. We're at 2 minutes. Member Hunter, you have the floor.
Yeah, I want to support what the chair has said. This is a corrupt looking process. And I think no matter what We have to figure out the best way to get the most programmers engaged and doing whatever portal needs have to be done. And I also hear what Brother Ambrose is saying. We have to find out, as I've written in the chat, you know, how can numbers be verified prior to the cutoff date? I think that's imperative because accounting always has glitches, and that's just a thing that we have to be able to backstop it. And again, I also advocated having some kind of way to document it, either in an email to a colleague or something in real time, so that we can have a written record. That's my comment.
Very quickly, Member Pinchback. Thank you, Member Hunter. We have 1 minute, time certain.
The election supervisor should be doing all of this. Because that's the final arbiter of what's accepted and what's not. So we were going to have to find a way to address that, that skin in the bone, because, she's in charge and she's making decisions. And as you can see, there's a lot of confusion about some of those decisions. And so we've got to find a way to reach out to the election supervisor and get some clarity on these questions. You know, these are a few questions. These are major questions.
I'll have more for that in new business. So. We're at time certain on this matter. Unless you want to extend, we're going to go to our program committee report. Hearing none. Member Hirsch, program committee, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We sent out the committee report through Alan. Thank you so much, Alan. I just hit a few highlights. We voted to approve a feedback form to help provide feedback for our programmers who are now unfortunately having to deal with this situation. So that was our main accomplishment that y'all need to care about. Our next meeting was scheduled for Memorial Day. We're not going to be meeting on Memorial Day. We're sliding over to Tuesdays, and Ellen scheduled us for Tuesdays moving forward. Thank you, Ellen. So we're going to try to make that work. Excuse me, a little bit under the weather too. See, we had a couple of our officers had to step up back for various reasons, and we voted for replacements. We also brought in two new members. It's all in the report. Here to answer any questions anybody has.
You've heard the report. Thank you, sir. From Chair Hirsch of the Program Committee. You also have the written report. Any questions for the Programming Committee? A couple questions for you, Member Chair Hirsch. How successful? I know you and Member Kiyasi were concerned about participation. How was the participation at the meeting?
We did really well. I think we've got, we have 15 members of record, 12 attended. So we're very happy with that turnout.
Excellent. Anybody else? Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Mm-hmm, yes, Mike. I'm sorry, I heard you say that the next meeting would be on a Tuesday. It's not going to be Memorial Day. When exactly is the next meeting scheduled for?
It is Memorial Day, I think, is the 25th, and it'll be the day after that.
And day after Memorial Day.
Okay. Yes, I sent out a reminder already, but it just went out a little bit before this meeting. I'll send out another few reminders to make sure we keep having a good, healthy turnout.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course.
Right. Anybody else for the Programming Committee.
If it's all right, I'd like to quickly editorialize the Program Committee.
You got the floor, sir.
The Program Committee stands 100% behind our programmers in making sure that they're eligible to vote, eligible to run, and we'll do whatever we can to help out. This is not okay. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. All right. Anyone else? If not, we will move to unfinished business. Very well. Number one on unfinished business, updating contact information. Ellen, without stating whom, have you received at least one phone number and one email from each of our LSB members?
I received it from several, but there's still some that have not had a chance to send it.
All right. So we'll just kind of gentle nudge everyone again. One of the things that was of concern from the membership now, so this is us, is that it's very difficult to get in contact with other members. And one of the ways we're seeking to solve that is to share. We already kind of have email addresses. So if you don't want to share that, I get it. We're kind of already on the email address. But the key component of this was a phone number so that folks can get in touch with our membership besides going through email. A lot of us use text messaging now as well, and the text messaging seems to work pretty well in terms of, you know, you don't have to pick the phone up right away. You can get the text and kind of answer back a little later. So that also is helpful to kind of put it at top of mind for our membership. But in order to move a little bit more quickly, in order to have a little bit more connectivity within the membership, we want to share a phone number. So please get that to Ellen. Ellen has a list she's trying to compile, and we'll send that back out to our members only. All right, so let's make sure we do that. Any questions or concerns? Anybody feeling funny about sharing their phone number? You don't have to tell me. You can tell me offline. Or let Ellen know so we don't try and, you know, beat you down for it. If you have a concern about it, let her know, and we'll go from there. All right? All right, town hall preparation on unfinished business. So we have our date locked in and time, the 13th of June, 2026. One of the things we need to do is really set our agenda. So the chair, Member Diamond, and the rest of the committee, we need to get together in the interim. I don't think we can really wait any longer just for the meetings in order to make sure we have everything on the up and up, especially the broadcasting and the Zoom, not on-air broadcasting, but the Zoom piece or component of the meeting. We need to make sure that's set up properly. As you know, those who were there, we got Zoom bombed pretty badly at the last one. Praying it doesn't happen again. But, you know, we do want to make sure for those who can't make it to the church, they're able to come in via Zoom as well. And then of course, making it a, community centered, community focused town hall, make sure we have our, agenda locked in where there's a issue within the community that we want to discuss or address, and then maybe bring in some of our partners from the community. Any ideas? Okay, so the committee is in place, but I'm sure they would like to hear from the rest of the board or anybody else who'd like to put a little bit in the chat about some suggestions we heard earlier from our sister station, a member from KPFT, about some suggestions. But please, this should not just be something that Member Diamond takes on her own or just that committee. It's all of our commitment on the town hall. So any suggestions need to come in so we can quickly move to have a very productive town hall on the 13th. Anything I missed, Member Diamond?
No. we were thinking that the voting was the one, you know, one of the key community interests, but we're open to any, everything. We have the framework, but we do have to solidify the agenda in addition to the regular things like the management reports and the things we normally do.
So that's a good one. So the voting is the voting in the local area, the district.
Yeah, the voting. Virginia. Yeah, the voting suppression. Okay. Voter suppression.
All right. Ah, the suppression. Got it. Okay. All right. All right. Well, you have to set a time in a meeting to get together to make sure. I would think, just kind of looking at where we are, we need to have a PSA kind of up and running by Monday at the latest. That would give us at least 3 weeks, I think, out to really inform the public. So that means we probably have to have an agenda sometime this weekend completed, or at least some of the highlights, maybe not the full agenda, but at least some of the highlights about what we need to do by this weekend. So let's think about how and when we want to meet. Does anyone have time this weekend? I know we have a couple of training sessions with regards to this portal that we'll talk about under new business in a second, but we need to kind of set up a meeting. Member Diamond, do you have an idea? Do you have any? You have a window?
Yeah, I am available if we want to meet.
Or let's do it this way. Do you want to send out some dates and times that you're available, and then we can all rally?
Yeah, it's already done. He's out of town this time, right, or something. Or is he here? But, yeah, we have that available. But we had the agenda. We sit around the agenda from last time that we were going to plug in stuff. So I don't know if people can speak right now, but, you know, maybe 1 o'clock on Saturday or something like that.
Okay.
Or in the evening.
Yeah. No. It's the first one. We'll take that as a initial proposal. Remember, okay. You had something? Ambrose, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry. I heard a little bit of discussion about voter suppression. I just wanted to let everyone know that most of the analyses that I have read, Louisiana versus Calais does not really apply to D.C. So I just want everybody to know that, okay? D.C. is set up quite differently than a state, and it doesn't really apply. What's really important is how Congress reacts to D.C., not Louisiana versus Calais. Okay? Thank you.
Ambrose, do you think you would be available like 1 o'clock Saturday, and also you, Verna, as well, so we can kind of talk about that piece?
This coming Saturday?
And Ron, yeah.
I'm not sure, but yeah, I could try to make myself available.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tentatively, yeah, we have a 1 p.m. meeting for those who are interested in assisting and participating in the town hall on June 13th. This Saturday is the 23rd at 1 p.m.
That's a Zoom meeting, I assume.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll be available.
All right. So that'll go out. Member Diamond, do you want to set the Zoom meeting up and just send it to Ellen? Then Ellen can send it out to everybody to let our full membership know that we'll be meeting on this Saturday?
Yes, I can do that.
Perfect.
Okay.
So Ellen will send that Zoom link out, please, Ellen, if you could, once you get it, to the full membership. All right.
We'll send it.
Thank you. All right. Anything else on that? If not, we'll move to number 3, which is our Bill of Rights and Grievance Policy, which I think we may have exhausted that already, but I will defer to you all in terms of any further discussion on the grievance policy or the Bill of Rights. Really, it's a grievance policy. Yeah, I think we might have exhausted that. Oh, Member Pinchback, go ahead.
No, I was going to agree with you that at least for this meeting, we've exhausted it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to proceed on and get some kind of answer from National regarding this grievance policy, because once again, we've been down this road before.
Gotcha. Anything further? All right. Hearing none, let's move to new business. First up on new business, actually, I'm sorry. I heard something earlier that I think should have gone under unfinished business. And someone asked about the relocation committee. I think that was Member Byfield. So we've been trying, I don't know if you all remember, but we've been trying since January to get folks to step up and send in their nominations for the relocation committee. That committee has not been meeting. That committee has not been formed. So that committee still needs to be formed. Folks need to step up, join that committee. It's a 10-member committee. So if you all want to be a part of that relocation committee, send that in to Ellen. Then we can begin to formulate, get a chair in place, secretary, and then get that work done. But as it stands right now, that committee is not currently functioning and meeting at all because it needs members. All right? So if you want to be a part of relocation committee, send that in to Ellen. Let Ellen know so we can get each of those members or get that committee set up and ready to go. Member Hirsch, go ahead.
Of the 10 members on the relocation committee, how many have to be LSB members and how many can be somebody else?
Yeah. So this is a very specific setup established a couple years back. So technically the LSB is only going to send three members. Seven members. The three that are standard and always a part of the committee are the general manager, the chief engineer, and the third member is going to be it was called the treasurer. It's, you know, Tom kind of titled maybe business officer, things like that. But it's really those three, and then we have seven additional from our group. All right? So we're looking for seven members. Good point. I misspoke. So it's not 10 in total. Seven from our group, all right? Member Byfield, go ahead. You're on mute.
Hello?
Here we go. Gotcha.
Yeah. I just wanted to encourage, we have some members, they're fairly new. Jeanette Pickney is one of them. I know she's not here at this meeting, but and I don't know whether or not she's on any committee yet. But I'd just like to encourage some of the newer members that they may want to look to participate and join that committee. It's a very important committee, especially right now. It's an opportune time, and I think the last relocation committee did a fantastic job in its assessment and evaluation of what's out there and some steps that we needed to take. We're in a very unusual period in American history. There's a real estate recession in commercial real estate. And since the pandemic, no one has ever it's not something that's being addressed by the media by the industry for whatever reason. But we're going to really need to look into that in terms of how that benefits the station. So, again, the relocation committee becomes a very important part of the station in this regard.
Okay, no, that's exactly correct, sir. We want to stay abreast of current market trends and then, be ready to move and act on real information when the time comes. So thank you for that. Member A.B. Brown.
I'm wondering, is there room on the relocation committee for listener members who are not part of the LSB? Would they be invited on to the committee or and not have a vote? I think that was the situation in the past.
I don't have any issue with it, but I think what we need to do, set the committee up, and then from there we'll say, hey, you know, anyone who's outside that is a listener or someone from the community that wants to have input will be able to join. It's just they're not a voting member.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. The way you had it last time.
Right. But that's what you want to, you know, at least just establish the committee first, and then we can kind of work on the nuances. I tend to lean towards allowing the community in because folks have insight that, you know, frankly, not all of us may have on the committee. They're just not able to vote on particular motions and activities that are happening in the committee. All right.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay. All right, so let's get Ellen your name. If you want to self-nominate, that's fine. If you have someone you know that you want to nominate, send it in. They can reject it if they want, but, you know, we do have to get it set up as Member Byfield has mentioned. So, all right, second piece of new business is kind of what we've been discussing already tonight, which is the elections, both voting and your candidacy. Each of us on this LSB took it upon ourselves to step up and be a part of this local station board. Currently, as the bylaws read, 50% of this board will not be here come the end of the year. And that's not through anyone just terming out. It's literally the numbers of the board will be decreased. So two things happen when that new number comes into play. It kind of develops a little bit of competition, okay, within the local membership. All right, so you want to be a listener member of the local station board. Where there was once 24 seats, there's now 13, and it becomes a little bit more competitive in terms of who gets on. Second piece of that is the number of staff on the board also has been reduced. And so that makes it even more competitive in terms of the staff membership on the board. All that, whatever is what it is. The key piece of this is not necessarily us running as candidates, but it's us who have stepped up to be members of the LSB to now turn around and ensure those who are not members of this body, who don't come here every month, are informed and aware of just how important it is that they get their eligibility straightened out. We can't take no for an answer. We cannot leave this to chance. We must focus and call each and every person, even if you think they're a sustainer and they pay $100 a month as a listener. Call them and make sure, hey, is your sustainer still running? Make sure they have their membership lined up. All right? That's the first overarching thing I want to stress to all of us, that personally you're on point with your membership. Anyone you know that is a fan of community radio that's been part of PFW, you know they listen to the program or the programming, just give them a call. Hey, real quick, have you donated at least $25 in the last 12 months? Just want to check in and make sure. If not, make sure they do it. Second piece of this is what we've been talking about in terms of the programs. I'll be honest, I'm disappointed in this organization. I'm disappointed that something so important that we are willing to go into arbitration to update the bylaws is not then rolled out in an effective, loud communication to everybody about what's at stake. It's disappointing to me that our leadership finds it so important that the bylaws need to be changed, but not important enough to tell everybody about that change. It's disturbing. And I haven't said much about it. You know, we sit here and we go through the motions month in and month out, but it's disturbing to me. And what I think, the straw that broke the camel's back to me was this portal and this expectation that you're going to get, and no offense to Otis, okay? Great brother. But all his stuff is a little dicey, and it's not as easy to use it. And it should be a very, a training that came in and was done on a routine basis. Hey, have you signed into the portal? Here's what you got to do. Here's how you do it. Here's what you have to, has to happen. Here's how you log in your hours, so on and so forth. So much so that you get tired of hearing from the national board. But no, we've got to call them and ask the election supervisor to come down and talk to us and tell us how it works. No, incorrect. And so what we have to do now is push through. And what we're going to do, and I'm talking primarily now to our program representatives. This is incumbent upon us. We called a small meeting the other day, late last week. I'm going to reiterate a little bit about what we talked about there and how we're going to try and mitigate this circumstance and bridge this gap and make sure more than 56 programmers are registered and ready to go. We have a list. We've got a nice phone tree going, and we're going to have each of us call the members and make sure they attend one of the two trainings. You have one coming up on tomorrow at 3 o'clock and one coming up on Friday at 7 p.m. All right. Each member, I think it's going to be 10, maybe 15 phone calls we have to make, but we want to make sure each person is there to attend so they can log in and log their hours. From that, hopefully, we'll get a substantial number of folk ready to go by the 31st. Now, to me, and I'll take a stack on this because this is the question I want to put out there. How do we then get our organization to tell these programmers that what they're putting into this portal can be validated by them, not someone else, that they can get feedback from this portal that says, hey, it's my understanding, Harris, you entered 48 hours in the last 3 months. Why that can't be done is very disturbing to me. How is anyone? There must be some output. Someone has to be able to verify this in some way. So you can't tell me there's no way to tell what the hours are. Why am I putting them in if you can't get them out? So that's going to be the primary question when we talk at these training sessions. How are we as programmers going to be able to validate what we've just done? Simple, simple, simple. I think we should be able to get that from this mechanism and this program rather quickly, I'm hoping. So that's going to be the move forward for us, is to make these phone calls and make certain that each programmer is up and ready to go. Because what this also impacts, this little simple kind of sleight of hand about paying $25 to become a listener member, well, why don't you just get rid of this volunteer staff membership? What's the point of this? Why do we have these different classes? This is a roundabout way to say, well, we don't need the programmer class at all. And you know, that to me speaks volumes. To just kind of cavalierly say, well, just pay $25 and, you know, come on this other side. No, I've done the work and you should recognize me in this class of membership, period. All right. So I just wanted to inform everybody about what the plan is going forward, and that, when you get these reports. All right, y'all. The ED reports come out. That these things are buried in here. All right. It's not like it's bright lights and, hey, you know, this is going to impact your voting. Pacifica Foundation team directory implementation. It just says, you know, nice things about it being rolled out, centralized communication, organized management, blah, blah, blah. But then you got to keep going down like, oh, here it is. My voting is at stake. You know what I mean? And I don't know what page this is in the document, but don't neglect this information. What do they used to say? The best way to hide something is put it in a book. This is what's going on here. So let's make sure we read all these documents that come out. All right. So that's the program going forward. Hopefully, that made sense to anybody. Anyone have any input, feedback on what we're doing? We'll take a stack. Member Lane and Avery Brown in that order.
Hey, Kamal, do you happen to know whether or not we can inform not just other programmers, but listeners on our respective programs on the air?
Yeah, you just can't make a call to action. But you can definitely talk about what the requirements are to be an eligible candidate and an eligible voting member.
So should there be created a single piece of paper that could be circulated to programmers? Because I'd be more than willing to say that over the air, as long as it's not a call to action. But informing both programmers and listeners to do that, I think we should do it and explain the process. We don't have to say, go to such and such a portal. That's an action. You know, yes. we can say, when you go, or for more information, you know, it's on xyz.xyz.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, we kind of had this discussion a little bit with management already. And so they're supposedly going to quickly put something together so that it'll be on air as well.
They don't have a lot of time.
I know. This is why we have to make the phone calls, man. So
I need my list of phone calls to make.
Yeah, I have it for everybody. So we're going to be ready to go.
All right.
Member Avery Brown, member Diamond, Pinchback, mm-hmm. Hewitt, in that order.
It's kind of a slippery slope what Ambrose is suggesting. But here's the thing. They do have a way. I thought I was all activated and registered and ready to go. And then the other day I get an email saying, oh, we need more information from you. And I can't imagine, you know, I probably didn't fill out all the details about everything I do to prepare for my show. So that could be why they need more information. But here's my question, Kamal. So if there are going to be two classes of voters, sort of created as a result of this process, if some of the programmers decide, oh, I'll just pay the $25, what will they be prevented from voting for if they are, you know, turning to the listener member class as opposed to the staff member class? Will they be disqualified from voting for certain things or what? How is that going to impact them?
Well, to me, it causes a bit of confusion because if you're already assuming that you're a programmer volunteering and that you're in that class of membership, suddenly now because of this, you have to flip to a listener. Now you got to remember the candidates that you know, which are typically going to be the programmers, right? That you would say, okay, I know this person because I work with them, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to vote for them. Well, now you can't because you've now been flipped to a listener member and you only can vote for the listener candidates. So you're essentially taking out of one class a voter, dropping them in a new class, and then saying now you no longer can have a say in this staff class. I mean, that's basically what's happening when you pay that $25.
Hmm.
They're moving.
and I'll just ask this and then I'll yield. So what all will be voted for is in this election? It'll just be a matter of voting for LSB members?
Yeah. You have both. You have your local station board elections and you have your national board, Pacifica National Board elections. You have both. It's a big one.
Okay. That has to be made absolutely clear, and what the consequences would be to the programmers if they opt not to vote. Thank you.
I know. Remember Diamond, Pinchback, and Hewitt in that order.
Yeah, I think it's been covered because as a programmer and the classes, we don't want any competition between or say one class is, I'm not even trying to say one class is different than another, but it does make a difference because, as you said, you would want to vote for the other programmers and things like that. So, and maybe a listener may not understand that as a programmer, you are doing this for free. You are researching, booking, curating stuff, and doing all of this stuff, right? And then you have to go in and plug it into the system so it can be counted. And most programmers also donate. So I just, you said disappointment, but it's even further than that. It's like, nobody's looking for any awards or anything like that, but it's like you're being... appreciation isn't there. It's just more. And then you got people evaluating your shows, which we want quality, high quality, who don't even know what has been, what you have to do to be a programmer. So all of this combined is unfair.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Remember Pinchback, Hewitt, and then Lane in that order.
Yeah, the programmers, if they take that $25 option, essentially it's not an option because you're losing your right to vote. As a, as a staff person. And there will be, the stations out, the other stations are well ahead of us. And, in terms of getting their people out, both, programmers and, listener. So, we're going to lose listener votes and we're going to lose programmer votes. And it's going to weaken the station tremendously. In comparison to the firepower of the West Coast stations, we will be outvoted on everything. We will be outvoted on everything. PFW, it may have representation, but without those numbers, it's going to be a mess. So, we have to get that vote out. What we've been preaching all along. So, I'm just not, and I really do think that we deserve a meeting with the NES sooner rather than later, just so we can get some, one thing about making a phone call to tell somebody to vote, if you don't understand the rules yourself, how are you going to call somebody? To encourage them to vote. You'd be giving them wrong information, misinformation. So, you know, we definitely want people to communicate about this. But how, you know, how and to what effectiveness? So that's it. And one more thing. The old dirty laundry rule. What programmers say on the air matters. And if, you know, what's construed is can be taken by, you know, management as airing dirty laundry. They've done that before. So you have to be careful about what you say on air. So it has to be something scripted so that the programmers don't get tripped up, you know, with that kind of nonsense. So that's it. You know, we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, no, to me, you have to clear that with compliance before you put people on air just talking kind of willy-nilly. So, yeah, that'll be done. And then, look, the election supervisor has agreed to 2 training sessions tomorrow and Friday. So she'll be available. Those links went out to all the programmers early this morning. So you're free to join if you have a question. But we're trying to get people into the portal. All right. Remember Hewitt, remember Lane, and Avery Brown in that order.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to do at this moment, and it would have been good if Ron had wasted just a few more minutes, but because I can't cut and paste at the same time very well. What I'm trying to say here is that I just read the bylaws about exactly what it means to be a volunteer staff member, right? And so I'm going to read you the key part. So it's 30 hours in the preceding 3 months. So don't pay attention to like a whole year. Staff members are different than listener members, right? So it's 30 hours in the preceding 3 months. But here's more. Exclusive of fundraising, marathon, telephone room, volunteer time. Answering the phones doesn't count for volunteer programmers. Also, said volunteer work shall be performed under the supervision of the radio station management and shall not include volunteer work on committees of a local station board. So I wanted to read that for everybody just to make sure that you programmers don't think, oh, I've got LSB hours in there. I'm good. Don't count on the LSB hours. What you want to do is make it clear that you've worked 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, you know, between your show, prep for your show. I mean, all the things that Violetta just ran through, the curating, the recording it, the editing, getting it ready to go on air, all that stuff. Count it. And then that's how you're going to get, you know, seriously, unless you're only on the air like for half an hour, you know, once a month. It seems to me as a listener, I know you all pour your heart and souls into those programs, right? And so, and you can tell when people don't, right? But mostly I can tell the people do. And so, you know, that I just want to make sure you all get credit for that. If that's an unreasonable bar, then I want to hear from programmers that that's an unreasonable bar, because the problem is that's written in the bylaws. It's been in the bylaws since, you know, 2003 or whatever. It's not a problem that just changed with 2025 if that bar is unreasonable. What might have happened, which is why we're where we are today, is that people may have said, like, let's just hit the rules, and signed up a shit ton of people to be programmers. And that was what You know, the whole concern was about, and Pacifica didn't have the records to back it up, which is why there's now this emphasis on this system. I'm telling you, people are not trying to make it be about disenfranchising people. You don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you the straight, honest truth. So I just want to make sure that we don't lose people from PFW. And so I'll get the words pasted in the chat here in a second, and I'll send an email around with this exact text as well. Thanks. I'm done.
Thank you. Member Lane and Avery Brown.
Yes. And Julie, I believe that it might not have been the intent to disenfranchise people. That doesn't mean that it didn't result in the disenfranchisement of people. Okay, so I want to make that clear. And I have a couple of questions. Number one, why are we voting for an LSB that has no authority? Why are we voting to put in LSB members when the LSB will have no authority? Number two, can you run for more than one? In other words, can you run for the LSB and PNB? I didn't hear anything about a prohibition on running for more than one position. And then I'm still not clear who is voting for what. I still don't know that. So who is voting for PNB members from the station? Who is voting for LSB members? Are listeners voting for LSB members or voting for their part, their representation to the LSB? And programmers or staff is voting for staff members to the LSB. That's so I'm trying to figure that out. I didn't really hear that. And please answer the question whether or not you can run for more than one position.
Okay, so first question is, can you run for an LSB board or local station board position and run for a national board position? Can you be a candidate in both, right? Is that your question? I actually have no idea about that one. That sounds a little dicey.
That's my question.
Yeah. I'd have to go through the bylaws. That one, I don't know if you can run for both. I know you cannot be a member of both in this particular iteration of the bylaws, but whether or not you can run and, hey, you get elected in one and not the other, I don't know. I don't know.
Or you can get elected in both and just choose.
Well, that too, whatever. I don't know. I'd have to read it more. On that one. What was the second one? I missed your second question.
Well, why are we, who is voting for whom? I mean,
yeah, you're always your class. You're voting for your class.
Okay.
So if you're a listener member, you're only going to be voting for the listener candidates.
Okay. So what about the PNB? Who votes for the PNB?
Same level. If you're the PNB has both classes now. Remember that. So there's actually three. The third class, I think, is just put in by, the folks who have been voted in get to choose two more after that. But the two classes choose within their class for the PNB. So if you show up and you have been qualified as a staff, your candidates must be staff. That's who you're voting for.
So if I'm, I know that I'm staff. If I'm running for PNB, is it other PNB members that have to vote me in?
No. So if you're going to run as a candidate to be elected as one of the staff, directors, you're then going to try and get votes from any staff member that's bona fide throughout the Pacifica network.
You're limited. The whole network?
Yes.
You're not limited to PFW anymore. This is a competition within the entire network of staff members. Yes.
How can they do that?
They did it, man. They did it.
They don't, I mean, you know, they don't know me from Joe.
You better get on social media. One
point of clarity.
Go ahead.
The PNB members have to come, well, in the past, and currently, as far as I can see, they still have to come from the body of the LSB. You know, those, the PNB members all came from the LSBs. And, you know, that process.
Right.
I think it's going to be, you know, continued. So I don't think they're going to allow.
What's so continuing?
Hold on.
Let me just, don't want to trip anybody up. What are you saying is continuing?
That the, that you cannot run, you know, to serve on the PNB, you have to come through the LSB voting process.
No, not this. Okay. Yeah. See, that's a big thing that has been eliminated. The path to the PNB was through the LSB. That's exactly how we operated until April 3rd, 2025. Once that, those bylaws were taken and moved forward, you now have somebody who can be elected as an LSB and will only be a member of the LSB. You have an election for the national board, the PNB, and they're only part of the PNB. The two are not interconnected anymore where the LSB feeds the national board. Doesn't happen.
And that raises the possibility of a station not having a PNB member.
Of course.
Yeah.
Hold on. Avery Brown had her hand, so I want to respect that. You have the floor.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, Ambrose, what you just stated. And whether it's intentional or unintentional, if the programmers don't get registered through this registry, this Pacifica Team registry, they're going to be disenfranchised. I don't care whether it was intended to be disenfranchised or not. That's what's going to happen. And we have to remember that it was the programmers, the staff, that voted to prevent those bylaws that were, that they attempted to change a couple of years ago. And so this will effectively shrink the programmers, class and their vote so that it ever comes to that again. It probably won't now because they've changed the bylaws, but they have almost eliminated the power of the programmers. So when we're making these phone calls, those of us that are going to be calling programmers, we have to make sure they understand that. And they understand, you know, that this is a training session. So we don't have all the answers. And we're not going to have all the answers because there's going to be a person from the NES woman is going to be there to answer all of our questions. So we got to encourage them to come and participate on one of those training sessions to get themselves registered as a programmer member, staff member. That other status is not going to afford them the opportunity to really vote in a meaningful way as much as it's going to be meaningful.
I'm still not clear. If I'm running for the PNB, is it programmers from every station that votes for PNB? Is that it?
Yes.
In other words, I got to know the programmers.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. You better get to know them. Yes.
And there are only going to be how many throughout the whole network?
You get two.
So there are only going to be two
staff members or two staff directors.
That's nationwide.
Correct. Network-wide.
Oh, that's automatic disenfranchisement. That's automatic.
Yes.
It went from 5 to 3. That's correct. Or 2, excuse me. 5 to 2.
That's automatic.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's out.
Yeah, you're going to have to reach out. So, I mean, that's the next level. We just got to make sure that PFW, whoever's putting in the work, who makes the station run. All right. That's the other thing I forgot to say. The people making this thing, the engine, making it run, need to be sure that they're locked in and ready to vote and or be a candidate. That goes for programmer and listener. If you're given a bunch of money, there's no reason at all you shouldn't be bona fide and ready to go. In fact, you know, the pressure should be on our management. They should be working overtime right now to make sure that they have validated both listener and programmer member. Should be no excuse. None. All right, we're at time certain, 10 o'clock on new business. Anything else on that issue? I know it's a lot. If anything comes up in the interim between now and the 31st, bring it up immediately. Call me. Everyone has my number. Get in touch with Ellen. You have your directors, all your four directors. You all know who they are. In fact, we're very lucky. We have the vice chair and the secretary of the board on our LSB. So questions. If you have them, don't hesitate. I'm sure they'll be ready to answer them. All right. Action items. We have a meeting that Member Diamond's going to send out on Saturday. She's going to get us connected so we can get this town hall properly organized. We also have your contact information needs to come in to Ellen. So please do that right away. We also have nominations for the relocation committee. If you have a relocation committee desire to be on that committee, please send it to Ellen. Or if you have a nomination, you can send that in as well. What did I miss, Ellen? Anything?
So you have
anybody
got town hall, the nominations for relocation. And then the attendance at the voting.
Yeah, yeah.
So and Friday.
Yeah, so the training sessions are for the programmers. They're really for the programmers. The 3 o'clock tomorrow and 7 p.m. on Friday. A little funny on a Friday night, but I think it's we got to have as much as we can get from the National Election Supervisor. Remember Avery Brown, before we pack it up.
Thank you. One final statement that might offer a glimmer of hope in this whole voting process is that there is a lawsuit. There's a lawsuit that is currently underway. And if that lawsuit is successful, that could undermine all of this. These bylaws may not be in effect any longer. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe Robert might want to, I don't know if he wants to speak on that, but there is a lawsuit underway.
All right. Thank you for that. Member Hirsch, you have the floor, sir.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention our programming committee will be meeting this coming Tuesday, the 26th. A lot of these issues relate to programming and programmers. So I would like to devote some of our meeting to discuss these issues and things that we can do about it in terms of energizing and empowering programmers to get them to do what they need to do in time to do it so they can maintain their eligibility. So I'd just like to put that forward as something that we could do. We're going to be starting around 7 this Tuesday. Have a lot of fun on Memorial Day. Then come ready to figure out what we can do to make a difference to protect the voting rights of our programmers. That's something very important to me, just in general, not only for the programmers who I care about so much, but voting rights in general. I've been working on this issue since around 2000. And I know different ways of chicanery. I also know that these bylaws
seem to be critically flawed in ways that are going to cause a lot of trouble. And I think that the contradictions in the bylaws as written, and I'm not ascribing any intention, but I just think that there are mistakes in them, things that were done too quickly, too dramatically, and it's going to lead to people feeling unappreciated, and they won't want to work for free. And when people aren't working for free for Pacifica, there goes a lot of our best programmers. No programmers, we don't have much of a radio station. So I think what's going to end up happening is we are going to go through a rough patch. And people are going to say, this isn't working. Let's go back to the old way. Because it's just, you know, you sometimes you can look at a system and you just go, the wheels aren't going to hit the road and the steering wheel isn't going to turn the car. And this is not really a car. This is a bunch of parts and bolts and things. But so to get where we got to go, I think we can make maybe minor changes to what we were doing, very minor. But I think that this overhaul went too far, too fast, in too many crazy ways. And, you know, I think we got to hold together, stay strong, work the best we can in the context that we've been given, and do as much as we can in inefficial ways to, you know, bylaws don't dominate your day-to-day work. Bylaws only come out when there's a disagreement. In a healthy organization, the bylaws usually stay in a desk and then come out every so often if some people just can't work things out. There's some things in this bylaws that are going to make it difficult for us to do it the way we've been doing it. But I think that there'll be workarounds. There'll be things that we can do. WPFW management, I think, will work with us. But, you know, there's several areas where I see somebody did not think this through. And I think it's going to come back and bite them and then after we get through a choppy period,
yeah,
there's going to be a whole lot of "we told you so's."
Yeah. All right. No, thank you for that. I got a couple more before we check out. We're about 4 minutes out. Thank you, Member Hirsch. Member Kiasi, finally, man, good to hear from you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify something.
Sure.
There was action against the bylaws this summer, and a judge did not rule in favor of those who felt the bylaws were done incorrectly. So that action, there is currently an appeal to what that judge did last summer. So the first level is that the bylaws were approved, you know, through the courts, through that action. So now we're on the appeal level. I don't know if anyone has any insight to that, but that's where that is. And just a minor correction, I was going to say that in terms of the LSB, the entire LSB is going to go away because in terms of our members, because let's say if I'm on a 3-year term, that term is going to be truncated because there's a new LSB, you know, being constructed. I'm not saying that current members can't be a part of the new LSB, but it's possible that that none of us will be. That's all I had to say.
No, I mean, of course, that's very possible. It might be a whole new set. Absolutely. Really quickly, Member Lane, and we'll let you close it out, Member Hirsch. Go ahead, Member Lane.
I hope that Mike is right. I'd like to believe that Mike is right, but I cannot imagine that some of this was intentional. When you're reducing the possible number of station representatives to the PNB, that is intentional. That has nothing. I mean, that can't be just a reorganization.
Mm-hmm.
You have the possibility of actually more than one station not having a representative to the PNB.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though they might have wanted to reduce it, because I think we have three, and there might be three from each station, they reduce it to one. Okay, that's fine. But to craft it and construct it in a way that even reduces any input to the PNB from a station has to be intentional. Now, they might say, well, we want a new order in terms of the power of the LSB. I mean, that happens. That's probably why it was approved by a lower court. But the real disenfranchisement is the connection between local stations and the Pacifica National Board.
Thank you, sir. Yep.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we're up at time certain. Very quickly, person, and we got to adjourn.
Yeah, real just quickly, there's nothing inadvertent about the decisions. They're all intentional. I think the full meaning behind the intention, sometimes it could be sloppiness. Sometimes it could be a sense of just getting things easier when, in fact, they will not be easier. And then another thing is to address lack of clarity that we've had in the past. But I think that they've gone way too far in a way that does not fit with the culture of Pacifica, at least at the stations. And it's just a lot of rules came down that were on the books but were kind of loosely enforced are now being, you know, run through different complicated means.
Yeah.
I think that I do have confidence that if we can just keep ourselves together and not lose hope, that we can weigh upon people that we're not going to work under these circumstances. They can't afford to lose us all. So, without threatening anything, just say it's untenable, you know, I think we can reason it out.
We're at time certain. We have a motion?
Motion.
Move to adjourn.
All right. No opposition? Great. Thank you all. More to come. And I appreciate it. Let's stay united as we move forward. Take good care.
United together.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Good night.